about.
So easy. You gotta put it in perspective.
I'm gonna need you to prepare yourself on this one.
I'm prepared.
Yeah, prepare yourself some more. All right, look, there are no jurisdictional rivalries here. The local police begged us to take this. Where's your head?
It's on my pillow. I didn't sleep.
That's just the thing to wake you up.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Hi, I'm Zach Braff, and Chris Cornell's voice gives me a boner.
Okay, that was kind of hot.
People write about what they want to write about. You know, I like to sing about America, about God, country, you know. I like to sing about my grandma going to jail, you know, things that mean something to me.
Yo, whoa, turn up the bass in my headphones. All right, let's do this.
And now.
Honored. So honored to take on this sacred mission to save lives. Yes.
Our feature presentation.
That is what we're all about, man. We're just here to save lives like we do. Hello, ladies.
Good morning, Bean.
Hello, Bean.
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show here for a Wednesday, the 12th of August, with Kevin out. He'll be back tomorrow, but with Kevin out today, it's just me and the girls.
Right.
Just when girls are icky, so this is very uncomfortable for me.
I know, but we're totally synced up now, so it feels good.
All three of us.
Yep.
I need Ralph to come in here for some testosterone. Hey, Chip, you can agree with me that being a Patriots fan has got to be the worst.
Oh,
right?
The worst. Absolute worst. Nothing, yeah. But the worst people are Patriots fans.
Right.
Huh. Science.
I mean, you would agree with that too, Allie.
No, I definitely wouldn't. I would say some of the most loyal, beautiful people.
Whatever.
Inside and out. Mm.
Rooting for the Patriots is like rooting for the Death Star, and that just makes you a bad person. But right now, today, it may be even harder to be a Jets fan than it is to be a Patriots fan.
It's always harder to be a Jets fan. It really is.
Like, I'm a Dolphins fan, I look at the Jets fan and go, oh, right? I'm sorry.
It's a sad time.
And we'll talk about what happened yesterday, but what's really sad is this is the time of the year where there's a level playing field where everybody is technically still in it to win it, and you've got all the hopes in the world, and you just are looking for flashes of good news out of your preseason training camp, and you're like, maybe this season we make the playoffs, you know? Maybe this season it goes well for us. And then something like what happened yesterday happens, and you just go, will they even field a team on opening day?
Yeah.
So Geno Smith, who is their fairly acclaimed quarterback, I would say. He's considered one of the good ones, right?
No.
Compared to the rest of the Jets, he's a star.
Well, compared to the rest of the
Jets
that aren't
quarterbacks. Because technically you have to have a starter. Yeah. They had to name somebody.
Yeah.
Okay.
Geno Smith. Yeah.
All right. So he is their biggest name and most popular player, though. So if you're going to put your hopes in anyone, it's going to be in him, I would say, as a Jets fan, right? Well, maybe not so much this season because he's going to be out 6 to 10 weeks after a broken jaw that he received yesterday. How did he do it? Was he wrestling an alligator? Was he involved in a terrible car crash? What could have possibly happened to Geno Smith? Because don't these professional football players, they keep themselves out of harm's way to make sure they're healthy for the season, right?
Well, and especially a quarterback being in that position, they're extra careful.
Absolutely, yeah. Oh, wait, he was in his own locker room and was sucker punched by one of his own players.
Oh, no. This is a colossal disaster.
It is indeed. A young man I am unfamiliar with named I.K. Anamanpali, who is trouble, who's got nothing but trouble on his resume. He has been previously arrested for battery on a police officer. He's been arrested for being drunk. He's been trouble for the Jets for a while. But yesterday it really spilled over. Now, Allie, why don't you tell us what they told us happened and then why you think that's a cover story?
Yeah, it was coming out in the press. People were saying, I'll let them say it if they want to. It's a private matter. It's not about football. It's such a stupid reason. And then it came out, and there's still questions about it. But apparently, Geno was supposed to go to this guy's camp down in Texas, one of those football camps that he has for kids, and wound up canceling last minute because a friend of his died in a motorcycle crash. Apparently, he had not yet paid back the $600 ticket. And that is why Anamanpali was so upset, because
the puncher Anamanpali had bought the ticket for,
yes,
Geno Smith, and then Geno didn't come to the camp and then didn't reimburse him for it.
Right.
Now, Geno's people are saying, we weren't obligated to pay that, by the way. I didn't borrow the money. I was doing him a favor by coming to the camp. So there was some discrepancy whether he even owed the money or not. I mean, it sounds to me like it wasn't really spelled out that he owed him $600.
And I question if this is even it. I mean, it's definitely, it's money or women. That's all that they're going to fight about in a locker room if it's not happening on the field. Mm-hmm. I think something had to be boiling over for a six-round huge dude to clock you in the face, sucker punch you.
Right.
Something's going on.
And by the way, no matter how mad you are at your quarterback or even at any other player, you know you're losing your job if you behave that way.
Yeah.
You know it. You know you're a sixth-round pick,
round. Yeah.
You don't have a lot of equity in this club anyway.
Right.
You know that you're gone if you throw that punch, but that doesn't stop you from throwing that punch?
I question a couple things. A, the leadership and the respect that makes you think that's okay to punch the quarterback. Because we were talking earlier, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, even Tannehill, Chip, I'll say it. His guys are not going to punch him in the face no matter what. There's just a level of respect there. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if you saw the coach. He came out in a press conference and he said, well, it takes two to tango. Now, any coach should be backing up your quarterback and saying, absolutely unacceptable. He's gone. We're working on it internally. But to basically put blame on both the guys, that's not a good sign for Geno.
No, it's not. Why wouldn't you stick up for your quarterback in this case, especially since you've already fired the other guy? What's the downside of saying, A, he was sucker punched, and B, it was way out of line and he got hurt? They got troubles, man.
Yeah, the Jets just got a jet, man.
Yeah, they are so jetty right
every
now.
Every year they figure out a way to become a dumpster fire, and I love it.
Yeah. Wasn't this the same team that, was it like a week ago, one of their players was going like 120 miles per hour with a kid in his car?
Oh, I don't think I saw that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're having quite the preseason.
Yes, they are. So they were 3.5-point home favorites over the Cleveland Browns in week one, but that is no longer the case anymore. So good. Anyway, great, good stuff. Why aren't the Jets the Hard Knocks team?
Right. Well, because you've got Will Fork and J.J. Watt.
Yeah.
That's a duo I want to see every day.
Yeah, I heard it was pretty fun
so
last night. I didn't see it. All right, so very jetty. You're right about that. Let's talk about today's all-new Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
In fairness, it's not great.
Well, actually, that's true. We're going to catch up with our old friend Pope Francis today, who's got some thoughts on some things like you do. Love him. Best Pope ever, by the way, for my money. Now, I haven't been around for 99% of the popes that have ever lived, but he's my favorite in my lifetime, certainly. Huh. A new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup for you today. Got some great stuff for you. Also, P-Rod will be here talking about his new skating movie called We Are Blood. He sure knows a lot of people who can skate really well.
He sure does.
There's a lot of that happening in the movie. But I'll tell you, Allie, and I think you agree with me, being a professional skater looks like a pretty good life.
Right? Just traveling the world, having fun with your friends. A lot of high fives.
Yep.
That's good.
Yep. A lot of fun things in your life if you're a skater. And P-Rod's one of the best in the world, so he'll be in studio with us here this morning. Comedian Liz Winstead joins us as well. She's got some stand-up dates in town. She, of course, is, among other things, the co-creator of The Daily Show. Always fun to catch up with Liz. Adam Carolla on the program today. He'll give us his take. And blah, 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 blah. And yesterday we started having a conversation at the very end of the show about hot blind girls. Apparently, Ralph had quite the crush growing up on some hot blind girls that appeared on TV and in movies. And we hit a vein with that one yesterday because he heard from people all day long today just raving about hot blind chicks. Apparently, I'm not going to say it's a fetish, but it's a thing that people like a lot, people are into, and not for the reasons that I was guessing.
Well, yours were creepy and bizarre.
Anyway, really, we will continue to discuss. Speaking of Ralph, he's got the Showbiz Beat, and that's coming up next, right after this, in the world famous Kim. What is up with Florida? We'll find out just after 6 o'clock this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show for a Wednesday morning. First, though, time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat. Here's our friend Ralph Garman.
Well, could this be the end, the tipping point of this national interest in the Kardashian family?
Ooh, tell me. Sounds like good news.
Could that news anchor in Orlando, Florida, finally have voiced what so many of us have felt for so long, where we just can't bear any more news?
He tried to tell us that no one cares about the Kardashians, but there certainly is a lot of evidence to dispute that.
But is there?
Well, I mean, I think in terms of social media numbers, for instance.
Right.
I mean, that shows
so that's,
us,
what, a couple million people,
tens
right?
of millions of people who seem to be interested enough to follow on a daily basis what this family's up to.
But you know social media. You follow someone, but how much do you really follow them? Once you have to click one button once, that's all you need to do to say you're following someone. Are you really then scouring that feed to see everything that they put up?
No, and you're not invested in their life. You're just there to click and possibly hate follow as well.
Right.
And maybe see some boobs in their case.
Sure.
So the tide could be turning. Yesterday, celebrity tabloid gossip blogger Perez Hilton called for a week-long boycott of all Kardashian-related stories. From August 17th to the 21st, Perez Hilton said that he will not put a single Kardashian slash Jenner slash boyfriend slash husband slash baby story on his website. And he's challenging other news outlets and media sources to do the same.
So no Kanye?
Hashtag no Kardashians for a week. That means no Kanye as well.
Wow.
Hashtag no Kardashians for a week has already taken off on social media. And Perez said that Kim Kardashian unfollowed him on Twitter shortly after he declared that he was going to put a ban on Kardashian stories. So apparently she's got a thin skin about it. But I think it's a step in the right direction. All from right. August 17th to the 21st, next week, Monday through Friday, no Kardashian-related news.
I like it.
I promise to do my part as well.
Maybe. Oh, are you going to join the movement?
I have joined the movement. Okay. I usually only mention them when I'm trying to ridicule or mock them.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is also a useful tool, but I think this is a step in the right direction. So I will support this cause by not doing any Kardashian news.
Can we get Harvey Levin on board? Do you think?
I bet you. Well, you know, we could ask him to steer away from that. I'm sure.
Let's do that.
I don't know if he'll do that on his website or not, but when we talk to him, he'll probably be able to avoid it. If we give him other stuff to do as well. Donald Trump called Fox's Sean Hannity yesterday. Did you see any of that interview on Fox News?
No.
Oh,
it's hard to keep up with all the Trump interviews. He's
on
everything all the time, always.
He says that he is no more liberal than former President Ronald Reagan because they were accusing him of being a longtime Democratic supporter who's just flipped over because he sees an opportunity to win the candidacy with the Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
Ronald Reagan was a Democrat, and he was sort of liberal.
What?
He was a Democrat with a liberal bent, and then he became a great conservative. He had something special. If you think of it, he was a little bit less conservative than people think. He had a great heart, and I have a great heart, said Donald. Well, Donald is known for his great heart.
Yeah.
Now, he's got a point. Reagan was a registered Democrat for much of his adult life before becoming a conservative icon in later years. But Trump really has shown no one position one way or the other than just being pro-Trump.
Right, exactly.
So it's hard to really know where his loyalties lie.
And by the way, I don't know why people are so fixated on what party somebody is a member of.
Yeah,
why can't you just vote for the candidate who wants to do things that you like? I voted for probably more Democrats than Republicans, but a lot of Republicans over the years. So I mean,
Trump's getting your vote this year, so and he's
absolutely.
A Republican.
Yeah, he's another Republican, yeah.
Right. Donald also made a mention of the Bernie Sanders rally last week in Seattle. See that, where the Black Lives Matter protesters stormed the stage and refused to let him talk?
Yeah, that was handled badly by Mr. Sanders.
Yeah. Donald Trump said he would never give up his microphone. He thought that was disgusting.
Is Bernie Sanders a loser?
Yes, what a loser.
Did he really?
No, he didn't, but it was close. That showed such weakness. The way he was taken away by two young women. They just took the whole place over. That will never happen with me. I don't know if I'll do the fighting myself or if other people will, but that was a disgrace. So apparently Donald will have jackbooted thugs who will beat people up who try to shout him down at rallies.
I did see, and I don't know which interview it was yesterday, I did see a quote on Mr. Trump where he said he's the most militaristic man ever and that he's going to bomb Iraq, he's going to bomb Iran, and he's going to bomb ISIS. So right out of the gate, we're at war the minute he gets sworn in.
Bomb Iran. Today's celebrity birthdays, actor Peter Krause.
How great is he, by the way?
Best ever.
He's 50 years old today. Yvette Nicole Brown celebrates her 44th birthday. Casey Affleck of the Acting Afflecks is 40 years old. Maggie Dawson celebrates her 35th birthday. And Cara Delevingne, nephew's 23 years old today. Just get her a Red Bull. Tell her to take a nap. Remember that interview? That went poorly.
Yeah, that was tough.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beats.
Two ways you can tell it's summer in Southern California. One is it's 150 effing degrees outside. That's thing one. And thing two is the new KROQ summer sticker is out, new for 2015 at all Southern California Hot Topic locations. You can use the back of it to enter to win prizes like a 2015 Dodge Challenger, a trip to see that band right there, Muse in Mexico City, a $500 Hot Topic gift card, all of that, all the details at KROQ.com. In fact, every day throughout this month, we are out at Hot Topic locations around Southern California with additional prizes. Chip, you are going to be out today at what store, please?
I will be at the Hot Topic in Orange in the outlets at Orange from 1 to 3.
Ooh, nice. That's awesome. And you're going to have Foo Fighters tickets and Social Distortion, Mumford & Sons tickets, Rise Against, all sorts of KROQ music and other KROQ prizes. So if you want to go by and see Chip today in Orange starting at 1 o'clock, please do that. And be sure to enter to win all those other great things. Go to KROQ.com for all the details. All right, it's Wednesday morning. Big show today, and we'll get it started with a little feature we like to call What's Up with Florida?
You goddamn people of Florida! You bunch of bastards!
Florida, Florida, Florida. What's up with Florida? You always have the craziest news. What's up with you? Florida, Florida, Florida. What's up with Florida? Let's all find out what happened now in Florida.
America's penis, the Sunshine State, back in the news with lots of great stories over the past 2 weeks or so. Last time, Allie, you'll recall that we had the guy who was masturbating in the McDonald's drive-thru lane, remember?
Yes.
Went up to a car, asked for cigarettes. They said no, so he dropped his pants and just started masturbating in front of the car.
Like you do.
That one didn't make any sense to me. This one, at least, the guy had a reasonable explanation. His name is Byron Christianidoudis. He actually apologized as he was arrested, 44 years old, from Sarasota. Police found him masturbating on a Florida beach there. He was sitting in the sand near the sand dunes when Officer Darren Rath of the Indian Shores Police Department approached him from behind at around 6 p.m. and saw that he was, working it. He also appeared to be watching females walking on the beach while he was doing it. When confronted by the cop, the man made a spontaneous statement. He apologized for his action and said, "My girlfriend is out of town and I miss her." So it's actually kind of sweet, really.
No, it's not.
It was kind of a nice tribute to his young lady friend.
No.
So I say let him go.
No.
I say let him go. He's just in love. Why do you hate love?
There's something called the internet. Well, use
just,
it.
Just say it. Apparently he was doing some peeping out while he was out. So we always get a masturbation story, almost always from Florida get a shooting story, and this is another one. This will not surprise you at all where this one goes. A father teaching his 12-year-old daughter about gun safety accidentally did what?
Shot his daughter.
Yeah, he shot her in the arm. Fortunately, she's okay. Neighbors said they thought it was fireworks, but then when the police and ambulance showed up, they realized that a shooting had occurred. They saw a young girl dressed in white shorts walking out of the house with her arms bandaged and one side of her clothing covered in blood. You could see in her face she was in pain. Fortunately, she was taken to an area hospital and is in stable condition.
Aww.
Anytime there's a story in the news that involves somebody trying to teach somebody else about gun safety, you can guarantee that there's going to be a shooting. Here's a man arrested in Gulfport, Florida last week after vandalizing two police cars. His name is Rusty Moore, 44 years old. He was upset that officers had parked out in front of his house while they were responding to a call from another residence in the neighborhood. So he wanted to show how upset he was by painting his name on the car doors of the police car in front of his house.
That'll show him.
Yes. So, in other words, the cops weren't there. They were off dealing with their other issue. He ran outside. He was mad, so he wanted to spray paint the police car. Why would you choose your own name if the car is in front of your house? Like, what's the thought process there?
Oh, Rusty.
Rusty says, I was a little inebriated and full of stuff and vinegar and happened to be painting on that certain day when they pulled up in front of my house to go to somebody else's house. So I walked out there, sat on the curb, and painted my name on their car. So that's not, you're not going to get away with that.
No.
I'll tell you that. Here's a Florida man behind bars for the second time in the past 2 weeks for the same crime, driving his vehicle on the lawn of the Hernando County Detention Center. His name is Michael Lee Roberts, 32 years old, of Brooksville. He was arrested this past Sunday after he drove an SUV into the jail's retaining wall. He also hit a 2-inch natural gas line, causing it to rupture, prompting an evacuation of nearby businesses. When the police came and checked on the SUV, they found a suspicious device in the car. It did turn out to be nothing, But he was arrested on numerous charges, including an active felony warrant related to the illegal discharge of a firearm from a vehicle, 3 counts of threatening to harm a public servant, 2 counts of felony criminal mischief. So, in other words, he had all these warrants on him when he drove into a police station.
Wow.
And as I mentioned, it's the second time in the past 2 weeks he's done the same thing. On July 27th, he took a similar joyride on the same line after after officers told him he couldn't park on the sidewalk. He complied by backing his SUV down a walkway, hitting a bench, speeding around the lawn, and almost hitting a patrol car in the process. The ride ended when he came to rest in a flagpole. This guy cannot stay away from the police station.
He wants to live there.
Apparently he
does.
Let
him.
And here's the most unfortunate story of this week's What's Up with Florida. And I'm warning you because it is early and this may not be the type of thing that you want to hear about. But there is a doctor in the news. Well, he used to be a doctor. He lost his license several years ago because he was practicing medicine without a license. This guy is a piece of work. Dr. Schriebner is his name. He's already served time and had to pay 4 different women for botching their lip, eye, and breast procedures. Oh. He's one of these guys who advertises, hey, I'll do your surgery for you cheap because I'm away from the system. Mm-hmm. We see these stories from time to time. Somebody goes and they get their ass filled, with filler or something like that in somebody's apartment because they're right. Just, it's cheaper. So he treated a guy who was having penis problems. Now, this guy is unnamed. He's 55 years old. He's a hairstylist. He had previously been to another unlicensed physician named Neri Gonzalez. And she, who had also been previously convicted of practicing without a license, is currently still on the run, was trying to fix his penis. And she filled he wanted his penis to be larger. She filled his penis with filler. And apparently it caused nothing but problems. It got infected. It was way bad. So did he go to a regular emergency room or a regular hospital? No. He went to another unlicensed doctor, our friend Dr. Mark Schrieber. So Dr. Schrieber operates on him. He only charges him $1,000, by the way. The victim told police he was given 5 unknown pills as sedation. He passed out. He remembered little until he woke up at home the next morning to find his penis swathed in blood-soaked bandages. I told you this one was going to be rough, you guys. The man removed the bandages to find out that he had been mutilated by Dr. Schriebner. The victim's penis was now incredibly small, yet very swollen, and the skin around the shaft had been removed and was raw. He stated that his penis had retracted so far that it protruded less than 1 inch from his body.
Oh, God.
You don't even have a penis and that hurts, right?
Yeah.
2 days after the surgery, the victim told police he had spoken with Dr. Schriebner, and he told him what he was experiencing was normal. The man said that the doctor told him to just put 2 sticks on either side of his penis and wrap it to keep it straight. After that conversation, the patient was never able to reach Dr. Schriebner again. So, 2 bad choices, really, going to these attorneys, or to these doctors, rather, to try to get your penis fixed. I don't know how many times we have seen that happen, yet people, I mean, I guess they still go, hey, it looks cheap. The hospitals are a ripoff, man. Look how much they charge you for this kind of surgery.
His penis is in, like, a splint that you use during, like, a camping trip.
That's right.
Oh.
That's right. All less than 1 inch of it.
Oh.
So he may regret that decision, and he does cause us to ask, as we so often do on this program, what is up with Florida?
Florida, Florida, Florida. What's up with Florida?
America's starved for the NFL, Allie. Did you see 11 million people, I think, tuned in for that Hall of Fame game on Sunday night? With Steelers-Vikings?
Unbelievable.
And that's without a lot of the stars, too, yeah. Playing in the game. So we're all excited about the football season, no more so than Philadelphia Eagles fans, who are very excited about their quarterback, Sam Bradford, who has had, shall we say, a tough time remaining healthy in his NFL career.
The last 2 seasons, no big deal.
The last 2 seasons, he tore an anterior cruciate ligament, I'm probably saying that wrong, in his left knee, ending both of his seasons with the St. Louis Rams. He was traded for in March. He is now a Philadelphia Eagle, and they have taken the unusual step of trying to make sure that he remains healthy this season, coming up with the Eagles, by asking the Pope to bless him. So we wanted to find out more about that. As you know, His Holiness is coming to America, including Philadelphia, right at the start of the season. So I believe we have Pope Francis on the phone with us right now here on the Kevin DeBeat Show. Hello, Your Holiness. How are you, sir?
Hello, how are you guys doing?
Hey, we're doing great. It's great to talk to you. It's been a while. You've been all right?
I've been good, thank you. I've been very busy.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're the
Pope. Busy, you know, saving souls and taking care of a church business.
Right, understood, sir.
And, you know, ministering to the sick and poor.
Like you do, yeah.
And also, I've been putting together a hell of a an 8-track tape collection. I'm very busy with that.
Why? Why?
You can get them for cheap now.
Oh, that's true.
You go to like a Salvation Army store or thrift shop, it's boxes and boxes of 8-track tapes.
That's an economical way to build a powerful music collection.
Yes, and okay. You can make furniture out of them, too.
Oh, interesting. Oh, well, listen, Pope, how do you handle this with all the millions of people around the world who ask you to pray for their sick and injured family members and friends? How do you handle you can't. There's no way you have time to pray for everybody individually.
No, it's exhausting, and it's heavy on my heart that I can't personally pray for each and every person that needs a prayer.
Mm-hmm.
So I ask everyone, in all of God's children, to help and pray for each other so that the Almighty God can hear all the prayers.
Okay. What about this story out of Philadelphia where Eagles fans there, the pro football team in that town, sir, have started a change.org petition asking you to bless the knees of their new quarterback?
Oh, yeah, I heard about this American football.
Mm-hmm. That's right, yes.
Bradford, I think.
That's correct, yes.
Yes. They asked me to bless his knees because, of course, I am going to Philadelphia in September.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. You're giving a big mass there at the stadium, right?
Yes, September 27th, mm-hmm. which is the day that the Eagles play the New York Jets.
Okay.
You're welcome, Philadelphia.
Wait, you're not suggesting
wink,
that...
Wink, wink, wink.
You didn't have anything to do with Geno Smith getting sucker punched yesterday.
I'm not saying I did. I'm not saying I didn't. I'm just saying the Lord work in mysterious ways.
Oh, wow. How, now the pieces are coming together here.
I not only bless Sam Bradford's knees, but I'm a bless the fist of the guy hit Geno Smith in the face.
Wow.
Okay.
Job
well,
one. Taken care of right there.
Yeah.
You like me now, Philadelphia.
You are a good guy to have on your side, I guess.
You're damn right I'm a good guy to have on my side.
And by the way, I could have said that better. By the way, what about...
I'm going to bless your mouth next. Give you a little help.
What about Tim Tebow being an Eagle, too?
Yeah,
he's one of your guys,
that.
Right?
I
he's
love a, Tim Tebow. I
he's always him. Talking about you.
He's a, well, he's not talking about me. He talks about the big guy.
Mm-hmm.
About J.C.
Right, J.C., right, yeah.
And I know he's a big fan of J.C.
Uh-huh.
And J.C. also is a big fan of Tim Tebow.
Big fan of Tebow, right.
Exactly. I think he looks good for the birds this season.
Okay.
So fly, Eagles, fly.
Surprised to hear you so
yeah,
invested.
He
on
knows
the road
all the
to victory.
Wow, he Wait knows his chance here.
Fly, Eagles, fly.
The Pope is an Eagles fan.
Down, one, two, three.
What's about
hit
that?
Hit him low.
Okay.
Hit him high.
All right.
And watch your Eagles fly.
Thank you, Pope Francis.
Fly, Eagles, fly.
I was just looking for a comment.
On the road to victory.
Was expecting a pep rally.
Eagles. God damn, I love them.
P. Rod will be here next hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. Paul Rodriguez, legendary skater, talking about his new film called We Are Blood. I think Allie's going to quit and travel the world now that she's seen that movie.
I'm in.
It's like a pretty good way to live, doesn't it?
Plus all that Mountain Dew.
And all
Come
that Mountain
on.
Dew. I bet they don't even pay for most of that
right?
Mountain Dew. It's a good deal. Kevin and Bean Show here on the world famous K-Rock. It is Wednesday morning. Time for a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup. Hit it.
Wake up. And watch the Internet Roundup.
Yeah. Dave, the King of Mexico, the producer of the Kevin and Bean Show in CD with us. Hello, David.
Good morning.
Good batch this time.
Yeah, I like it.
Good batch. This one comes from the news. This one is for reals, and you should really watch it if you want to know what it's like to feel blessed and lucky. This guy is at a Caltrain crossing and gets into an accident. The video starts after the accident already happened, so I don't know how it happened. But do you get the impression, Dave, that he's still in the car because he's kind of dazed from the impact of crashing his car near the railroad tracks?
To me, it seemed like he didn't want to be saved. He was kind of fighting the officer.
Really?
That's what it looked like to me, because it looked like he tried to take him out and he struggled a little bit with him. So I don't know if he was dazed or just didn't want to be saved.
Interesting. I thought maybe his they had trouble getting him out of his seatbelt or something. But, yeah, so he runs into a Caltrain crossing, and the train is approaching. And this officer runs up and pulls this guy out of the driver's seat seconds before the train whizzes by and hits his car. It's pretty incredible. You can't tell much from the audio, but here's what it sounds like. Boom. Boom. At that point, the guy has already been pulled out of the car. I mean, I would have loved to have seen some kind of a follow-up story interview with that guy about what happened. And I hope that he gave the cop like a dollar or something. You know?
High five or something.
Something,
like,
right, exactly.
Fist bump, bro. Like, thanks, man.
Or maybe some fro-yo. Just something. Just to say thanks. This video is called PDA Alert, PDA Alert. This is a guy. He's a comedian, actor who loves going around and shooting these videos. And basically, there was a couple on the New York City subway that was just making out, just going at it like there was nobody else around. And he wanted to point out for them and for everybody else on the subway car just how awkward it was.
Very awkward. It's awkward. They're all watching you.
No.
They're all watching you. Everybody's watching you.
And by the way, the couple looks up and laughs, but then goes right back to making out.
As they should.
They were not shamed at all.
Like, really?
Yes.
Young love is great.
Allie, you don't want to see people macking on a train, though, do you?
Why not?
Why do you hate love?
I don't hate love, but it's too much PDA is what it is. That's
all right. Well,
that's more of a private thing than a public thing, I think. Here's a video called Dear Instagram Models. I was not familiar with Nicole Arbour before, but she's my new favorite thing on the internet. She just does videos about all sorts of things, like the history of panties. I mean, that's the kind of video that she does. But this one is she's calling out those girls who they only want to be on Instagram and they don't want to do anything else in their life. And it's called Dear Instagram Models.
There's a lot of do-nothing bitches running the internet right now. I can't even take credit for that. That is my UFC bae, Rhonda, who calls girls do-nothing bitches. Do-nothing bitches. Girls who are just trying to be hot and wait for some guy to come along and take care of them. Perhaps an athlete that you accidentally got pregnant with. You poked holes in the condom, you psycho.
Her whole point is there's nothing wrong with being on Instagram and being hot, but have something else going on in your life. And I'm not sure I agree with that, but I enjoyed watching her talk about it. Our friends, the Gregory brothers, are back. They decided to songify last week's GOP debate, and they made it great. I mean, if you hate politics, you still will enjoy 2 minutes of watching the best moments of that debate.
If you get in the Oval Office chair, are you going to roll back the changes to health care?
What I'd like to see is a private system. Insurance companies control politicians.
How are you going to make the economy stronger? If you don't got ideas, I'll throw a benefit concert.
We need to even out the tax code. The economy is different from the one we had 5 years ago.
Hey, all I know is we need brain. That's my takeaway from that video. Epic Rap Battles of History are back now with Season 4. I can't believe they haven't done this one before, but they have Marvel Comics' Stan Lee or someone playing him up against the guy playing Jim Henson, and they're battling back and forth about who's more awesome, and I think we've got Stan here.
I'm just your friendly neighborhood writer man with a secret identity of a super MC whose raps are as dark as my shade. And you're squealing like... You're in trouble now, Jimmy, you dirty old hippie. Your beard needs a little bit of skip, damn skippy. Heck, that face on your neck ain't sexy. You're one pot sweetums, the other pot skexy. Step up to Lee and you get your butt kicked. Your Muppet Snuffleupagus stuff is butt kiss. I broke for Igno and the Comics Code. So keep your frog and pig show moving right along down the road.
Pretty impressive. Ooh. I love the guy doing Jim Henson, too, don't you, Dave?
Yeah, it's Nice Peter and Epic Lloyd. They always do the epic rap battles.
They do a really good job.
But then Roy Disney comes in, Walt Disney comes in and smacks him down because he owns him.
See, that's how history should be taught through rap battles. I think they're onto something there.
Set it for years.
Ralph told us yesterday that the Bill Nye film has more than accomplished its Kickstarter goal. He's the science guy who's making a movie, and as part of the Kickstarter campaign to promote that, he did a segment very reminiscent of our friend Jimmy Kimmel's Mean Tweets segment. A lot of people have a lot of mean things to say about Bill Nye, and here he is.
Listening to Tifus Bus, Bill Nye sucks hole. Did not know that. I hate Bill Nye. Soul guy. That misogynist.
Like I said, a lot of people have a lot of mean things to say about Bill Nye, but he seems to have a good sense of humor about it. Honest Trailers is back. They can make every movie, no matter how much you like it, sound bad. And this time they gave Eminem's film 8 Mile the treatment.
Ride along as this underdog struggles to defeat the Cobra Kai of rap. Get the girl.
and form a reliable carpool.
Waiting on this slow-ass ride.
So she needs a ride,
and I left her the car.
You gonna let me borrow your car?
I was borrowing a car.
Thank you, Mom, for the car. My mom's got the car.
Can I give you a ride?
Can you give me a ride?
Can some of us ride with you?
Yo, can I get a ride to work in the morning?
I'll give you a ride to work in the morning.
Again, even good movies sound bad. Speaking of trailers, I love this one so much. I bet this is not that different from what really goes on in a lot of Hollywood meetings, where they don't really care about the movie. They just need to make a trailer so awesome that people will pay to go see the movie. Doesn't matter if the movie sucks, as long as the trailer is awesome. And I do get the impression sometimes they put more thought into the trailer than the film, and you'll see what I mean here.
Slow push on a darkened wood.
Close up, reptilian eye opens, pupil dilates.
Dragon breathing fire.
Tell me he rides the dragon.
Our hero riding the dragon.
God damn it! I love this movie!
Soaring over the mountains.
He shouts to the world, not in my woods!
Give me the title drop!
This summer.
Quick cuts, explosion!
I want the title drop!
Evil zombie army!
Who are also Nazis!
I need the title drop! It's so bad that Kevin isn't here today because he would be salivating to go see that movie. I love that they don't have a film, but they're just throwing dinosaurs in and Nazis in, whatever makes an awesome trailer. It's great. And finally, for this edition of the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup, this is great, too. This is some press for the American Ultra movie. We're giving away tickets, by the way, August 18th at the Ace Hotel. It doesn't open up till the 21st. If you want to see it with Jesse Eisenberg and Kristen Stewart, you can call right now at 1-800-520-1067. How many do we have of those to give away? Five pairs? How about callers 20 through 24 to win those tickets right now on K-Rock? And this video is those two stars, Kristen Stewart and Jesse Eisenberg. They call it an awkward interview because the questions are flipped. Jesse finds out what it's like to be asked the girl questions on the red carpet, and Kirsten finds out what it's like to be asked the boy questions, and it's a very different experience for the actors.
My next question for you is, have you always been funny? We heard you do a lot of impressions.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, I'm not going to do any for you.
Oh. Yeah, okay.
What about your boobs? Do they ever slip out accidentally, and is that really funny or awkward, or do you kind of do that on purpose to get attention, or...
I'm pretty self-conscious about my body already, and so I like to be asked this in a public setting.
Do you have a favorite boob?
It's great. You should check it out and check out all the videos at kevinandbean.com or krock.com. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Wake up! Wake up! And watch the Internet Roundup!
Yeah! 106.7 K-Rock, K-R-O-Q. Ralph Garman is here. Beat me.
Oh,
no,
my.
Thank you.
Beat me.
No, I'm all nope. Good. I'm all full up over here. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
I mean, give me interesting information from the show this week.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Before I do that, I want to invite everyone to come down Friday night to the Improv on Melrose. Kevin Smith and I are returning to the stage there to bring back Hollywood Babylon Friday night at 10 p.m. We'd love to have you come out, and we have a pretty good time. Everybody seems to enjoy themselves. So go to improv.com.
No.
Improv.com for more details and to get your tickets for Hollywood Babylon with me and Kevin Smith. See Kevin last night on Hollywood Game Night?
I don't really watch Hollywood Game
Crushed
Night.
Crushed it! I love Hollywood Game Night.
I know you've mentioned that before.
How can you not like it? Well, it's fun. I just dawned on me. I just answered my own question.
To be fair, Ralph, you said when it came up last time on the show that if you hadn't watched it, you probably would have thought it was dumb too.
Right.
But once you watch it, you said it's good.
And when someone told me, "Wow, it's really good. It's really fun," I would say, "Oh, I would check that out."
Yeah, I haven't been motivated to check it out yet.
Okay. It's really fun, but it was Kevin Smith and Haley Joel Osment and Justin Long on one team.
Oh, okay.
Against three lesser people. And they just cleaned their clocks, and it was very entertaining, and I had a good time.
Well, I don't do parties, and I don't do games, and I know games at parties, so it might not be for me.
All things you don't like.
Right.
It's fun, and laughter, and joy, and happiness, and camaraderie, and good times.
I'm not interested in any of those things.
Nope. And there was no robot sex. There was no peeping out blind girls. There was nothing creepy about it. There was nothing inappropriate. It was just good, wholesome fun.
Hey, is your expose on Hollywood's love affair with hot blind chicks, is that coming up next?
After the top of the hour, we will take a look at the top five hot blind chicks from movies and television.
I can't wait.
All suggested by you, the K-Rock listeners.
You found out you were not alone yesterday that in admiring that.
I hit a nerve yesterday when I talked about the fact that I always had a crush on the hot showbiz blind chick. For some reason, whenever showbiz has a blind female character in movies and TV shows, she always ends up being hot. And so I did hit a nerve with that. Or as Bean said earlier today, I hit a vein with it.
Yeah.
Apparently people bled out after I talked about blind chicks. So we will be looking at the top five at the top of the hour, yeah.
Did you guys know Ryan Seacrest tried to high-five a blind guy?
I did.
Yeah,
that's right.
That did happen.
I've
yeah.
never seen that. Speaking of television, tonight I want to give people a heads-up, a little programming note. Mr. Robinson returns to television on NBC. Craig Robinson shows on at 9 p.m. I don't know if you guys are watching that or not, but very, very funny mm-hmm. new show. I dig that so much. So
you know who also is in that?
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
Perry Gilpin.
Roz!
Roz from Frasier.
I love her.
One of the stars. Allie has an odd fixation with Roz from Frasier. And so she is returning to television as well, Mr. Robinson. Tim Bagley, great cast. Good people over there. Speaking of television, CW, you know, we're going through what they call TCAs right now, the Television Critics Association. They have their panels where they get to talk to all the major networks, and a lot of people break news, networks break news at that point about what the new shows are being renewed, or what shows are being renewed, what new shows they have coming, and what plans they have for some of their favorite shows. And the CW this week announced a lot of good news, like the fact that for those of us who enjoyed Constantine over on NBC, John Constantine was played by Matt Ryan. It was a comic book TV series about a DC Comics character who fought demonic forces. Only lasted one season until it was canceled by NBC. That character, played again by Matt Ryan, will be coming to CW's Arrow in season 4. So the character will live on, which is good news for comic book fans everywhere. Also, CW has picked up another season of Whose Line Is It Anyway? With comedian Aisha Tyler. And Penn and Teller's Fool Us, which I like a lot, will also be picked up as well. They're trying to work on a TV series over the CW based on the Nicholas Sparks book, The Notebook. Why do you hate love, Allie? Don't you understand it? They're in love as young people, and then he tells her the story about their own love, and we find out, oh, it's really their story!
And nope. They're dead, and there's nothing more to see.
Wow.
Just saying.
You are.
Let's move on.
You are dark. Here's something for you then, evil one. Friday the 13th, the series.
Yeah.
CW is putting together a series based on the Jason Voorhees.
And if it's
murders.
CW, how hot will Jason be?
Right? He'll be all buff and yoked.
Yeah.
Notice have a really small little hockey mask just covering up a little bit of his face because his hair will have to stay perfect and stuff. So it'll be good times. This made me very excited. This little bit of this, more of this, Netflix and other people like them, Amazon and things like that. You know, all these new networks are coming out from the internet where you get to stream TV shows, everything. It's all well and good, and I think it's great. But I'd like to see more original, low-budget films being made for these outlets as well.
Well, it's harder and harder to get them in theaters, that's
right.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. So rather than just, we have a glut of television right now. The last thing we need is more episodes of television. I mean, they're doing some good work, obviously, at Netflix and Hulu and some of these other outlets. But how about more small films that we wouldn't get to see otherwise?
Yeah.
And Netflix has stepped up, and they are putting together a new feature-length Christopher Guest movie.
In.
A film called Mascots, which is promises to be all the drama, the intrigue, and the occasional excitement of the 8th World Mascot Association's Championship. An unusual group of men and women with big heads and furry suits compete to win the prestigious Gold Fluffy Award and be crowned the best mascot in the world. Mascots, brought to you by Christopher Guest, will premiere exclusively on Netflix in 2016.
Netflix is killing the game, aren't
yes, they?
It's
are
unbelievable.
Really, they are crushing it.
So I was watching, that's what I watched last night when you were watching Game Night, as I was powering through Wet Hot American Summer, which has just been delightful, too.
Powering through it.
Right.
Like this.
No,
right?
Not
with
that.
We get it. Wet hot.
Powered through it.
Come on.
I'm peeping out on this.
God, I love Christopher Guest, though. Is he the best?
He's the best. And we can't get his movies made because no one's going to invest small amounts of money into a movie that will probably just make a marginal return.
Right.
You have to make blockbusters or you have to make it yourself.
Right.
So this is a great opportunity for people like Netflix and Amazon and these others you know, internet networks to step up and fund these films that we wouldn't get to see anywhere else. And we need to, like, a new Christopher Guest movie every year.
At least. Agree.
We need to see. All that cast of characters, when you see Michael McKean and Fred Willard and Harry Shearer and all the people puts in all his films, you know, yeah, Eugene Levy and Catherine O'Hara, we need to see them every year in a brand new movie. So hopefully this will be the first of many.
I loved that.
But already the concept, just the mascot competition.
Yeah, brilliant.
Oh, so
it's brilliant.
It's just perfect.
I loved that last Christopher Guest series that he did, that Family Tree.
Remember?
Yes.
It lasted
like
HBO.
A season and was gone. I was so bummed out.
I know. With Chris O'Dowd, it was great.
He's a genius.
Today's celebrity birthdays, model Cara Delevingne.
Got some eyebrows, doesn't she?
23, she's rocking some brows, and trust me, I know of which I speak. I got a pair myself, but she makes me lower my head in respect. Maggie Lawson, she's 35 years old today. You remember Maggie from Psych? You also may remember her from a series called For the Love of the Game, starring James Caan. And we had Maggie on this program to talk about that, and Bean announced to her that her show was going to be canceled.
That's nice.
That was his prediction.
Yeah.
It was a good time.
When is that currently on the schedule? Where can I find back in the game?
Shortly thereafter, it actually was canceled.
Oh, I see.
But do you have to
tell
the guest?
It's like, say, hey, you're probably going to get cancer someday. And then did you celebrate when that person gets diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma?
It was a bad show.
You're a bad person.
Okay.
Casey Affleck is 40 years old today. Yvette Nicole Brown is 44. And Peter Krause celebrates his 50th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Four-time X Games gold medalist Paul Rodriguez, P-Rod himself, in studio with us in about 50 minutes or so here on the Kevin Meade Show on the world-famous K-Rock. And Liz Winstead, very smart, very funny lady, is going to be joining us in the 8 o'clock hour. Co-creator of The Daily Show, among other things, by the way. So a little something for everybody today here, Ralph.
She'd be so much hotter if she was blind, though, Liz Winstead. Let's face it.
Now, I know this came up yesterday during the showbiz beat. What is your lifelong fascination with hot blind chicks?
Don't act like I'm alone in this. I found out yesterday there was an outpouring of support for my long-standing love for showbiz's long-standing love for impossibly hot blind chicks.
I didn't realize that was a category that's been done frequently.
It's a whole genre. A whole genre of hot blind chicks in movies and television shows. It's a long-standing stereotype that has been welcomed by me and apparently many of you. Because here's the thing. First of all, hot. Okay?
Right.
They got that going for them.
Yeah, they could be hot Nazis and they'd still get points for being hot.
Right? Hot.
Okay.
Then blind. Which means...
Okay, but why is that a positive? Like, why does that make them hotter?
All right, he's getting there.
Slow down. Wait for it. They need you. They're a little bit helpless.
Oh, you're gross.
So you get to stand up and be the man, be the guy, be the dude, right? It gives you a little bit of that savior complex that some guys like to have.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And then the other side is they don't know how hot they are. They're hot, but they look in the mirror, and what do they see? Well, they don't see anything because they're blind. So they don't know they're hot, which means that they're down to earth, they're not full of themselves, and more importantly, they don't know how ugly you are.
Ah,
so I think that's the hook.
So
right
your
there.
Personality shines through and just in their heads, in their minds, unless they're one of those weird face touchers, they just don't know how hideous you are. And so you can actually have a shot with a hot blind chick.
So you can be the elephant man and they'll never know.
Well, I wouldn't go that far because he had a giant bulbous head and he slobbered a lot. Maybe that would be a giveaway. But yes, you could score her.
Okay, but Ralph,
wow.
How much time and attention is that young lady you described going to be putting into her beauty regimen if she's blind? Like, how much is she going to be doing the hair and the makeup and the worrying about her weight?
The only things that make a woman attractive.
Thank you, Allie, for clarifying it for me. Yes.
Oh, you two are really disgusting.
You
right
obviously
now.
Don't watch this genre, or you would know. They're just hot all the time. They're just hot.
Even though they
don't
can't
worry about
see
those things,
they're still putting on the lip liner and eye makeup.
You ruin this fantasy. You're like, yeah, sure, but how much time are they going to put mascara on? How much she do her rouge?
All right, who's been hot?
So
on
anyway,
TV and
we talked about this yesterday. A ton of emails I got, and I compiled them all together, and I put together a list of the top five hot blind chicks from TV and movies.
Okay, excited.
Here's for number one. This was a big one for a lot of us who grew up watching this on cable, a little movie called Ice Castles.
Oh, Ice Castles. That's the movie that used to make Catherine would cry.
Ice Castles is about a beautiful figure skater played by Lynn Holly Johnson, who's just smoking on in this movie. She has a freak ice skating accident where she hits her head on a metal chain and gets blind. And she can't skate anymore because you can't skate when you're blind. But along comes Robbie Benson.
What?
To rescue her. He shows up. The rough and tumble hockey skater Robbie Benson comes in and teaches her how to skate and how to love again. Here's a little clip from the trailer of Ice Castles.
It took a lot of courage.
Well, I did that when I could see.
It took a lot of strength.
Oh, baby!
And most of all...
You did a double!
It took a lot of love.
Yes, it took a lot of love.
It took a lot of love.
Thank God he was there to show her that she could skate.
He helped her, Allie. Stop being so cynical. And Lynn Holly Johnson, by the way, so hot in this movie.
And so blind.
And so blind. And she was also hot in For Your Eyes Only, the James Bond movie, but not nearly as blind.
For Your Eyes Only?
See how weird that is?
How curious.
Yes. Next on the list, number four on the list, oddly enough, is from the Fantastic Four. Talk about a girl not knowing how ugly you are. How about Alicia, Ben Grimm's girlfriend in the Fantastic Four movies from 2005? Michael Chiklis plays the giant orange rocky thing from the Fantastic Four. Mm-hmm. And his smoking hot blind girlfriend is Kerry Washington.
What?
What is happening?
Who doesn't judge him on his hideous looks and his rocky skin? She judges him on the inside. What he has on the inside, and his massive rocky penis. Those are the things she judges him by. Here's the beautiful Kerry Washington, who's just blind as a bat, meeting the thing for the first time.
It's okay.
There is a God. He hates me.
She is not so into hate.
You can see me.
You wouldn't be saying that.
Then let me see you. Can I?
All right, that audio didn't work out so well, but trust me, it's very sexy, and she's very blind. Then comes the whole blind girl in apparel sub-genre to this genre, which really was kicked off with a movie in 1967 called Wait Until Dark. Audrey Hepburn, looking about as hot as a blind chick can look, plays a hot blind chick who is terrorized by criminals who are searching her apartment for a drug stash that she accidentally comes across. And they just terrorize her because she's blind, alone in the apartment, and she can't get away from these criminals. She's terrorized because she's blind and she's hot. Here's the trailer to Wait Until Dark.
Audrey Hepburn, the role you're going to remember whenever you're alone.
Gloria? Oh.
She is blind, and she is alone, with a terrible suspicion growing.
Gloria, I know you're there.
But that sparked off, that was 1967, that sparked off just a copycat after copycat after copycat movie of blind girls who are much in danger. Like Jennifer 8 from 1992, this was number two on our list. A lot of people fell in love with a smoking hot blind Uma Thurman in film.
Yeah.
Andy Garcia plays the big city cop who moves to a small town and finds himself investigating a string of seemingly unrelated murders. All these young women, ho, were blind.
Wait
for the cue.
I jumped the gun there.
And so he meets a smoking hot young blind woman who may be the serial killer's next victim. Here's a little bit of the trailer of a movie called Jennifer 8.
Our blind lady has been attacked again.
Why does he want to kill me?
Because he thinks you're a witness.
There is no serial killer. You stick her name up in neon and there is still no serial killer.
I love you. Are my lips lying to you?
John, what's happening?
Is my mouth lying to you? He was here.
I've got a bad feeling about this.
Is that you, John?
I've been doing this too long to be wrong.
What the...
That movie doesn't sound real, Ralph. That movie sounds like a parody of
a movie. It's awesome, Jennifer. It's awesome.
Is my mouth lying to you?
Because all the girls, they cut their heads off the blind girls. And so each one is like a Jane Doe, and they call each one Jennifer. That's the code for it. And so she would be Jennifer 8. The serial killer gets a hold of her.
Got it.
And number one, we talked about this yesterday. It's the one that kicked the whole conversation off. Melissa Sue Anderson as Mary Ingalls on Little House on the Prairie. That show was on the air for 9 seasons. She lost her sight at the end of season 4. That means we got 5 sweet seasons of a smoking hot blind chick.
And if I do recall, her husband was blind, but then in true TV fashion, regained his sight.
He got his vision back, yes. But she stayed blind the whole time. And hot the whole time. Melissa Sue Anderson, she lost her sight in the 4th season, 2-part season finale called I'll Be Waving As You Drive Away. It's 2 hours of her slowly losing her sight. And then going to a school for the blind where she feels very sorry for herself. But then she meets Adam, a teacher at the school for the blind, and she falls very much in love with him at the school for the blind. And she lets go of her bitterness and accepts her blindness and her hotness. It is 2 hours of television, but there is a video on YouTube that has distilled down all 2 hours of this television program to 30 seconds. So here is the 30-second version of Melissa Sue Anderson from Little House on the Prairie losing her eyesight and finding love.
My eyes are just a little tired.
Seems to be a little eye strain, but basically you're fine. Mary is going blind.
I'm going to be blind? I can't see!
There are schools for the blind.
Allow me to introduce myself.
All you think about is being blind.
You see, it's not so hard.
No, I don't see.
Oh,
I want to hold your face in my heart, Adam.
There you go. 2 hours.
They took it very seriously.
Yes.
I could tell.
Yes. I don't know who did it, but I found it on YouTube. And it's very funny. So there you go. Those are your top 5 movie and TV hot blind chicks.
So the only thing better than being a hot chick is being a hot blind chick. Then that's our takeaway here.
Ladies, seriously, if you want to attract the fellas, just, I don't know, blind yourself, I guess.
Hate you all so much.
This is going to be fun. He is a 4-time X Games gold medalist in town to compete, among other things, this weekend, by the way, on the Dew Tour. It is the return of Paul Rodriguez. P-Rod joins us on the Kevin Beach on K-Rock. How are you, sir?
I'm great. Thank you guys for having me.
It's our pleasure. Great to see you. Can't wait to talk about the movie. And I apologize in advance that Allie is only going to try to use you to get free Mountain Dew.
Well, diet Mountain Dew, to be specific.
Okay.
But I appreciate all things
more health conscious.
Yeah, if you will.
So, P-Rod.
Yes.
There have been a lot of surprises in your life, a lot of things that have happened to you that you maybe couldn't have anticipated, you could have only dreamed about. But making a movie, how long has that been on your radar?
Well, this one, it all started about 2.5 years ago when the director of the film, who's a friend of mine just through the skate world, called me up and said he's working with this company called Brain Farm, and they're known for doing the most epic, amazing, like, snowboard films, surf films, and all these things. He said he's working with them, and he wants to do the biggest skate film ever, and he wanted me to be one of the main guys in it, and I was like, well, of course. Why would I say no to that? You
know? And visually, this is unlike any skate movie, surf movie, any sport movie I've ever seen. Talk about the different cameras that were used, the drones, everything, let alone the skateboarding, and let alone the cities that you visited. Just the camera work.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. It really is.
It's insane. I've never seen cameras like this before, and forgive me, all those tech nerds out there, I don't know the names and
say the
all
exact
that stuff
name
of the
and
cameras like
P4076.
I'm just like that. So in the skate world, we're used to, you know, typically going around with just a regular handheld couple $1,000 camera, but every time we're going out skating, we got like $2 million of camera gear with us. We have like grips and you know, guys there to, if anything goes wrong, they're fixing it at all times. So it was kind of like a big production when we're used to just going rogue and going, you know, hopping in a van, one camera guy, let's go skate. And it was,
you actually had grown-ups doing the hard work.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
So you and your friends, who went with you in the RV?
Oh, man, there's a lot of guys. Well, Ty Evans, the director, of course. Then we had, let's see here, Jordan Maxam, Chris Colburn.
He's good.
Moose.
Tiago.
Yep, Tiago Lemos, Angel Sacido, myself.
That's
a lot of sweaty guys, man, in one RV.
Yeah, after a while it was
it's got a little funky, I bet.
Yeah, the first 5 or so days was cool, but then after that it was pretty muggy in there.
Yeah. It's a good way
word
to put it.
Yeah.
So the plan was just to go to your favorite skate cities around the world, right?
Yeah, well, it was to do that and basically meet all these people from different cultures around the world and kind of see how, like, this one thing that we fell in love with over here, like, has spread across the world, and how you can go to Dubai and see that these kids fell in love with skateboarding just the same as you did, and you guys could be from completely different backgrounds and cultures, and you can go to, you know, the favelas in Brazil and see kids there, like, completely in love and enamored by skateboarding. And it was just kind of more so more than just about, like, hey, let's go film some fancy tricks at places all over the world. Of course we did that, but it was more so to, like, show the bonding that goes on behind that. Like, I've met so many people that without skateboarding, I don't know that I would ever come across these type of people and had a chance to get to know so many different types of people.
And it transcends everything, language, culture, everything.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's, I don't mean to sound cheesy, but it's this beautiful love story about skateboarding.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, like, it's a whole, full lifestyle, full culture, more than just like, hey, it's an activity we're doing. And then when it's done, it's done. It's like, I look at the world through the way my mind has been developed by skateboarding. Like, I'm driving down the street and I'm seeing, oh, look at those stairs. Look at those handrails. I'm taking a photo. Like, let me drop a pin to myself so I can remember how to get back here and skate this one day. And it's just a blessing. So
when you talk about the architecture in the city, you make a special point in the movie of pointing out that Barcelona almost looks like it was designed as a skateboarding ramp. How much fun is it over there?
Oh, it's incredible. I've been going there, I don't know, almost 10 years now, and every time I go back, there's just new things to skate, and the city keeps getting explored, and the guys, the local guys out there just keep finding new opportunities. And on top of that, the food is great, the weather's amazing.
Yeah. How welcome are you in public spaces as a skater these days?
It varies where you go. Barcelona's pretty lenient. But here in L.A. can be challenging with security guards and police officers and things like that. You know, people are worried for liability issues, as they should be. Mm-hmm. But it can be challenging. Like, the last few weekends, I went out, you know, street skating, and only one of the days we got to actually have a successful day. So out of 6 days, one of the days was like nobody bothered us. We got to skate where we wanted to skate, get some tricks on film, and, you know, proceed. So some days you come home with your tail between your legs because you get thrown out everywhere.
Well, that was one of the best parts of the movie when you went to China and you see all of these kids that it's really just starting in China, this culture.
Yeah.
But the security guards in China just hosing you guys down was one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
Yeah. Absolutely, because, you know, the language barrier. So, like, you know, while they were out there, I unfortunately missed that trip, but I've been to China before. And, like, you know, since the language barrier is there and they're trying to kick you out, we just play dumb. Like, I don't know what you're saying. Sorry. Like, I don't know. I don't get it. So after a while, they got smart and just said, all right, fine. We'll hose you down. Maybe you'll get the point then, you know.
That's the voice of Paul Rodriguez Jr. here on the Kevin DeBeach Show. We're talking about the film called We Are Blood. It's going to be coming out this Friday, by the way, digital and home video. You can get it in HD and Ultra HD 4K. And as Ali mentioned, it is a beautiful film, not just for the skating, but for the sightseeing as well. So much more we want to talk to you about. And if you have a question for P-Rod, you can text it to us at 2KROCK. That's 25767. And we also want to talk about the Do Tour coming up this weekend. We'll give away some tickets to that as well in just a couple minutes. More with our guest right after this on K-Rock. You're listening to the world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ. P-Rod in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show, one of the world's greatest skaters. And you can see him in the new film called We Are Blood, available digital formats this Friday. A modern-day skate epic taking viewers through Spain and China, Dubai, Brazil, and all across the United States. Here's a clip.
It's crazy what we put ourselves through just for skateboarding. Why do we do it? Because we have to. It's in our blood. It's in our DNA. Skateboarding is what drives us. Keeps us moving forward. It's our passion, our family, our life.
Right. P-Rod, where is it in the movie where you guys went and dug up an old skate park that had been completely covered over?
Yeah, that was in Barcelona.
Now, what's that? What was that deal? Like, why did they cover that thing up?
I don't know. I don't really know why they did that. But it was ironic that the same guy who dug it out was the same guy who buried it.
With the bulldozer.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a huge skate park. I wondered if they went through some sort of, you know, skateboarding is a crime phase where they just decided to, like, get rid of the blight or something.
Yeah, they had to have. Something.
And then Dave wanted me to ask you a question. So right before you skated that, after the whole thing was unearthed, you lit it on fire. We saw that a couple of times in the movie. What does that do for the cement when you light it up?
I think it was just wet.
Yeah, it just removes
the
water.
They were just drying it. Yeah, it was just a reckless way of drying it, I guess.
Really? Pouring gasoline and then lighting it on fire?
Then, you know, why not ride through it and, you know, see if we don't catch it on fire.
Now, this movie made me want to do three things. I want to become a skateboarder.
Okay.
I want to drink a lot of Mountain Dew.
Okay.
And I want to go to Dubai.
So we have officially, you know, that's the goal.
Okay.
That's what we need the viewers to walk away with.
Excellent. Well, what about Dubai? It looked like that place. You talked about Barcelona being made for skateboarding. Mm-hmm. It looked like Dubai was just built so recently, first of all. But it looked like every single place he went to was perfect for skating.
It really was, because like they use all the best materials, marbles and granites and smoothest concrete. So, yeah, it was a big playground. I felt like it was like a futuristic city, like we're in the Jetsons or something.
Yeah.
All the buildings, the architecture was just ahead of its time. Like I can just picture flying cars going through the skyline. You know, like it was incredible.
Are you pretty well known in cities like that?
I was surprised, actually, because that was my first time there, and I was surprised that I got recognized a few times. It's a trip that skateboarding has really kind of, you know, gone that far. I wouldn't have thought at all that I would have had anybody recognize me there.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's a nice
this weekend.
Ego boost.
You are competing in the Dew Tour, right?
Yes.
August 14th through 16th, downtown L.A. at the Ace Hotel. It's not just skateboarding, by the way. They got art and fashion and music and movies and all sorts of stuff. If you want to win some tickets to see it, you can. We have VIP passes right now at 1-800-520-1067. Caller 20, you can win those tickets. Tell me about the field this weekend. Tell me about the competition.
To be quite honest, I'm not sure what the lineup is going to be or who's going to be in it. So I can't really
answer
that.
But it is
that.
A competition. It's not just an exhibition, right?
No, it's a full-blown competition. It's a hard one. I've been skating it for the last 10 years, and this is the first time doing it in L.A., so I'm really excited about that.
Are you bummed the X Games aren't here anymore?
Yes, terribly bummed.
Because we really feel – I mean, we still follow it on TV and stuff, but we miss that rush of it coming to town every year.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
It feels like we've really lost something having it move out.
It was here for so long. It just feels weird, like, being somewhere else. Like, luckily, Austin is a great city, and it's fun to hang out in, but – it definitely, the middle of summer, the humidity there,
it's a lot.
It's rough.
Now, you are 30 now, which used to be considered old for a skater. But now that the early generation has grown up and continued skating, it almost seems like there's never a time that's too old anymore. Like, these guys just don't stop anymore.
Yeah, that's what kind of the movie shows. It's like, once it's in your blood, it's there's no going away. Like, you know, I'm going to be skating till I can't walk. You know, it doesn't have to be at the highest best pinnacle level, but just for my soul, just for my mental health, I gotta at least be rolling around and, you know, just be near it. It's just, I can't live without it.
And what is next for, I mean, so many people go into the fashion, the filmmaking, that type of thing, skaters. We were talking off air about Rodney Mullen doing TED Talks.
Yeah.
I mean, there seems to be so many different paths for you, but you're still gonna retain the skateboarding.
Yeah, that's the centerpiece, and a lot of things can sprout and blossom from there, and I've been fortunate enough to kind of have the beginning phases of that starting. But for me, I'm still so in love with the actual act of skateboarding that I feel like I still have so much to give, and I'm still physically capable of it, that I just focus on trying to do that as best I can for as long as I can.
Stop rushing me, lady, is what you're saying. Got it.
Yeah, exactly.
I invited listeners, if they had a question for P-Rod, they could text it to us here at K-Rock at 2-K-Rock 25767. We do have a couple I wanted to ask you. 323 texter writes in, P-Rod, what kind of music gets you in the zone?
Ooh, it depends on the day and what it is I'm about to skate. It could be anything, you know. Could be some good old hip-hop. Could be some Nirvana. Nirvana's like my favorite band. Could be even sometimes classical music. Sometimes I throw it on and get a nice little symphony going.
But then you suck that day when you skate, right?
Kinda.
Here's an interesting, interesting question from the 626. This guy has a passion for skateboarding, wants to be part of the skate industry, not as a skater, though. He's a professional. What other aspects of the business could somebody who wants to be close to it but not skate get into? You have any advice for him?
Yeah, there's so many. You know, photography, if he has interest in that, there's that's huge for us. You know, obviously filmmaking, videography, even music, you know. What else? Sports management, if you're, you know, are a good negotiator, you can be a manager and you know, help us keep our jobs. There's so many things you could do. If you're good with, you know, building or creating, you can, you know, go into manufacturing of boards. Or if you're an artist, you can, you know, we always need good graphic artists for the graphics on our boards. And shoe designers, clothing designers, all these things. So it's a full industry. So many areas. That's a
lot. P-Rod, why don't you leave your number for this guy and just help him out?
Yeah, I got him. I'll leave my card.
Do you ever think about how lucky you are when you look at how many of the early skaters, the generation before you, all did it? You're doing it for the love, too, but they did it for the love and got nothing for it.
Yeah.
You have come of age where you can make a living as a professional skateboarder, and the endorsements and the appearances and all that stuff. I mean, it really is kind of a golden time to be in your sport.
Absolutely. I'm definitely in a very fortunate era of my sport, and I believe it's only going to keep getting more and more fortunate. So these next generation kids who are coming up are going to reap even more benefits and rewards, and I'm very proud to be a part of that kind of.
I saw you in the movie, just you know, just walking by a billboard of skaters and stuff, and you're like, I can't believe this is real. Like, this is this is all happening. You know,
it's like we're starting to become like actual recognized athletes, and it's kind of a trip.
Well, I think when people see We Are Blood, and Allie, tell me if I'm wrong about this, I think a lot of people are going to go out and get their first skateboard.
Absolutely. And I think it's important, too, even if you're not into skateboarding, it's a movie that you walk away with a whole different sense, not only of skateboarding, but this universal love that just binds everyone.
Yeah, really. I mean, without trying to get too deep, it is a movie about, you know, like tolerance and acceptance and, you know, other people's cultures and just being open to, you know, humanity, I guess, you know.
Last question for me, P-Rod, then we got to go. And that is, are you seeing more girls get into the sport?
Yeah, there's tons, actually. You know, there's a young lady who's signed to Nike by the name of Leticia Buffoni, who's winning every X Games every year. And she's in the film. She's from Brazil. Mm-hmm. And she's getting a huge following. So I'm seeing more and more girls than ever before. And it's more kind of like accepted, as bad as that is to say, that it wasn't at one point not really.
Right.
It wasn't shunned, but it was just kind of like looked as like a side thing. But now it's like women are being taken seriously. You know?
That's cool. The film is called We Are Blood, available on digital platforms this Friday. Definitely go see that and look for P-Rod and root him on this weekend. He's going to be at the Dew Tour at the Ace Hotel in downtown L.A. So great to have you back in. You mentioned it's been a number of years since you came by the Kevin Bean Show. You're always welcome, sir. We appreciate the time.
Well, thank you guys so much. Take care and much love.
Comedian Liz Winstead joins us next hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. Comedian Adam Carolla at 9 o'clock. And right now, here's Ralph Garman with another look at the Showbiz Bee. What's going on?
Hey, turn this microphone on. Hey.
Wow, it's like Kevin's here.
Jeez, it's weird.
Seriously, Midge, what do you got against me? Was it the button too high to reach?
Yeah.
Is that the problem?
I had to reach really, really far.
We got to get Chip a step stool or some platform heels.
Did you forget that Ralph would be talking here?
I just turned on a different mic instead of Ralph's.
It's that side of the board, I guess.
Yeah, it's catching.
It's catching.
Maybe Kevin isn't to blame. Maybe there's some environmental factor.
Like a gas leak or something like that on the other side
mold.
Of the room.
Yes.
Mold spores that just eat at your brain.
I need a loud movie to watch. Anyone got any recommendations?
See, whoa. It's happening. Could it be that there was some little anchor in Orlando, Florida that eventually will look back in history and say that was the beginning of the end? That was the tipping point. For the Kardashian clan. Everyone this week talking about that news anchor who walked off the set of his morning show because he just couldn't bear to do one more story about the innocuous Kardashian family.
Now, before you give him all the credit, he was reporting on a very important story about what Kylie Jenner was naming her rabbit.
Her rabbit, yes. And he just melted down. God bless him. And I know how that feels. Well,
it seems like it triggered a little bit of a national awakening where people are realizing, yeah, I feel that way too. Of all people, Perez Hilton. Now, you wouldn't expect this guy to lead the charge. But he came out yesterday and he is calling for a week-long boycott of all Kardashian-related stories. That means all Kardashians, all Jenners, all husbands, all boyfriends, all babies. No Kardashians for a week is the hashtag. And it has taken off on social media. Perez Hilton has asked other people in the media to join him from August 17th to the 21st and not post one story about anyone involved with the Kardashians.
Now, this is interesting to me because if Perez Hilton is saying that, that means either those stories are not getting the clicks they used to on his website or he's willing to take the hit.
I think he claims he's willing to take the hit. He's, by the way, he is not like me. I despise these people. I truly think they are a genuine cancer on our culture, the Kardashians. They represent
They're not harmless fluff to you.
No, they're not. I think they represent a genuine, deep-seated problem with America. The Kardashians embody that, and I find them repugnant on almost every possible level. Perez Hilton claims that he still loves them, but he's just burnt out. He just can't, cannot do another story.
Well, there's no break anymore in Kardashian coverage because there are so many of them.
So he's calling just for a week-long boycott. I would like to call for a lifetime ban.
Let's do it.
But I don't know if that's possible or not. Anyway, 17th to the 21st, no more Kardashian news, and I think it's a great thing, and maybe it'll take off. But it seems like you can sense a turn in this. It used to be, I think, a lot of people liked them. Then a lot of people seemed to tolerate them. Now I think a lot of people have had an assful.
Well, I mean, you don't have an unlimited shelf life if you're not offering anything good in between. You know, this isn't like somebody who's you're tired of and then they make a great movie and now you like them again. You know what I mean? They're not doing anything.
How's she going to have a comeback?
Exactly. I mean, she posted another naked picture on Instagram yesterday.
Well, there you go. Was this of her pregnant belly? Yes. The one I heard about that? Yeah.
Because she's all in a tizzy about the haters who say she's fat or whatever. I don't know.
I'm looking forward to next week. That's all I'm saying.
So you're on board. You're boycotting
as
well.
I'm way on board. Okay. Yes, absolutely. Hey, George Lopez is getting another comedy show. And by comedy, I mean that's the category you'll find it listed under.
They haven't seen his previous work?
He had a show for 5 years on ABC. Uh-huh. A sitcom in name only. And TV Land announced yesterday they're going to be doing another half-hour sitcom with him beginning next year. What is it about George Lopez that would make anyone give him another show? He had a talk show for a while, too, right? He had Lopez,
yes,
that late-night talk show.
Right.
I think, here's my theory, that there are a bunch of white people who run show business, and then someone says, you have to give someone of color a show. And they go, well, I recognize that one. Give him a show. It's just he's been around enough that they just say, okay, let him be on television. Has he ever made you laugh once?
Not once. I can honestly say that.
I mean, he seems like a likable enough man.
And the likables.
But as my mailman or something, he doesn't. Not as a professional comedian. Give it to Felipe Esparza if you've got to give a Hispanic comedian a show, right?
Exactly. There's a ton of funny Latinos out there. George Lopez is not on that list. Speaking of not funny, you know the movie Fifty Shades of Grey? Okay, wait for it. Wait. Marlon Wayans is doing a spoof of that movie in a new movie. Wait, hold on. It's called 50 Shades of Black, right?
I don't get it.
Come on. Right?
No!
That's already just funny because Marlon Wayans is also black.
And the answer that I think I always ask, and I'm sure it can't possibly be this simple, is stop it.
Yeah, this is the Wayans family. They're responsible for a lot of these spoof movies, like Scary Movie and stuff like that. The will star Mike Epps, Jane Seymour, and Fred Willard.
No!
Yeah.
Fred.
We have to put together some sort of team, some sort of SWAT team, and extract Fred Willard from this operation, from this project.
Allie, you got to make a phone call.
Yeah, we have to go in like the SEAL Team 6 and put a black bag over Fred's head.
I can guarantee his daughter is listening right now.
Throw him in the back of a van.
Yep.
And we just need to extradite him from this situation because something's gone horribly wrong.
Hope, tell your dad we're coming.
Yeah, tell him it's safe. He's going to do one of those videos. I enjoy being on the set of 50 Shades of Black. And Marlon Wayans is a funny young talent. He's like, his eyes are darting around the room.
Hold up the newspaper with today's date on it.
That's right. We're going in with paratroopers to get Fred Willard out of this movie. Today's celebrity birthdays. Cara Delevingne is 23 years old today. Maggie Lawson turns 35. Casey Affleck is 40 years old today. Yvette Nicole Brown turns 44. And Peter Krause from Parenthood, of course, and Sports Night and 6 Feet Under. Has the guy ever had a bad project?
He has not.
Doesn't seem like he's had many missteps in his career. 50 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beats.
This is going to be fun. It's been a number of years since Liz Winstead has joined us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. She is the co-founder of the Air America Radio Network and the co-creator of The Daily Show, among many other things. Comedian, activist, playing the Largo this Monday night. How are you, Liz? Welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
I always think about somebody like you who's so smart and so tuned in and has such an interesting take on the news. What you must think of this political campaign that's going on for president. I mean, it almost doesn't seem real. It seems like it's one giant crazy reality television show, doesn't it?
It feels like a giant punch bowl full of floaters. That's what it feels like to me. It is so depressing. I mean, I've always said what's good for comedy is horrible for the nation.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And now it's like...
It's so good for comedy right now.
It's so good for comedy. I mean, Donald Trump has basically replaced bed bugs as America's number one pest. You know, it's just... And, you know, and what he does is he's sort of drowning out the fact that the other 16 people are terrifying. Running. And so, I mean, it's like you watch those debates and I'm like listening to Ted Cruz, I'm like... Game of Thrones is easier to follow, actually, than listening to Ted Cruz carry on a conversation.
And he's in number two right now, by the way, ahead of Jeb Bush in the polls.
I know. Ted Cruz.
The debates were good for him.
The debates were good. It's because he didn't get to say anything. Like, the debates were good for everyone who didn't get to say anything.
You didn't hear a lot from him.
That's right. Mm. Right. And then Jeb Bush is like, you know, yeah, women need health care. They don't need that much health care. It's like, basically, it's like, screw pap smears. Who needs it? Really?
So would this be a really boring campaign on the Republican side if it weren't for Mr. Trump?
Oh, no. Are you kidding? Oh, my God. You've got Rick Perry, who is amazing because he's trying to be real smart because he got those glasses, which are half empty, by the way. His glasses are half empty. And, you know, when he says stuff like, you know, he was the governor of Texas for like 2 terms. And so he gets on stage with like cojones that are giant being like, you know, if I'm president, I'm going to close the borders. And I'm like, you mean like you didn't when you were governor of Texas?
Yeah.
Like, why on earth do we believe you? Mike Huckabee, who is I don't even know what to say, but he hates birth control. Not as much as Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum hates birth control so much he won't pull out of the race.
Why are there so many rich old white men who hate women having birth control, do you suppose? Like, where is that coming from? Is it all just based on
the women not wanting to have sex with them?
Maybe that's the bottom line. But is the basis of it just I'm super religious and I don't believe in birth control, or I'm super religious and I don't believe in abortion? Is that why they just don't want to have anything to do with anything that has to do with reproductive rights?
Well, the thing that's so interesting is when I hear people who can say with such passion and conviction, just close your legs, ladies. Why are you having this kind of sex? It just, to me, it's a giant telegraphing that their sex lives are awful. If you can just tell people to not have sex with such ease, it's like, oh, you've never actually had sex you want to have again. So you're just telling everyone that. Uh-huh. But it's really, I just can't believe it's about abortion, because if it really was about abortion, you would do everything in your power to want to make sure that access to birth control is around, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So you would not get pregnant.
And I've heard people say that Planned Parenthood is responsible for preventing more abortions than any other organization in America because of that, because of how much birth control they offer.
Well, that's the whole thing, is that you're working really hard to not get people to get pregnant. And so then you have these zealots saying, the way we want to reduce abortion is to remove access to affordable birth control. It's like, you should actually be taken off, given a banana pudding, and like sent back to wherever you need to go so you can get some rest, right? And now your boss, the Supreme Court has said, your boss can decide what kind of birth control you get in your healthcare plan, which is bizarroville, based on a Christian craft store who said, you know,
Hobby.
Yeah. Hobby Lobby.
Right, right.
And you're kind of like, really, Hobby Lobby? Is this about religion, or is this really about the fact that if people are having sex at the ready, they're going to be crafting less?
I know that I scrapbook less when I'm doing it.
I know. If somebody says, you want to go at it, I don't go, let me finish my decoupaging first, and then let's get to it. No.
You're part of an organization called Lady Parts Justice.
Yes.
That is right in the wheelhouse of what we're talking about. What is it you guys do?
So we do a couple of things. We do two things. We try to make videos that are not unlike Funny or Die videos or Amy Schumer videos that let people know about the extremists in their state. So if you go to our website, there's like an interactive state map where you can click on Kansas and find out all the horrible laws in your state that we update, and then we make videos about local politicians, because a lot of these really creepy laws are coming out of state legislatures, mm-hmm. and state politics is super boring. So
and they're so buried, too. You have no idea this is happening.
Right. They shove them into, like, budget bills and all this stuff. Yeah. So if we have really funny folks making videos and letting people know, then we feel like we're raising awareness and we're kind of dropping things into pop culture spaces. Mm-hmm. And it's been cool. Like, we're doing Bumper Shoot this year with our videos and comedy, and that's really awesome. And then the second thing we do, which I'm really proud of, is we go to really embattled states where there's, like, only one clinic left in the state, or that are just, like, under siege, which is basically every state but California and Oregon. And we help people escort. We bring them food. We have parties for them. We celebrate the workers who are doing a lot, because what's really happened on this issue, which I don't think a lot of people know, is that the doctors and the people who work in the clinics are also having to be their own advocates. Mm-hmm. And so we feel like we've all used a Planned Parenthood or a clinic, and we want to be able to give back and sort of say, you know, we got you. We'll stand up for you. We want to be mm-hmm. the face of saying, you know, we think that access to birth control and even abortion is totally fine, and you shouldn't be stigmatized or judged by it. We want a healthy society, and that means having healthy sex lives, and that means making sure that everybody's doing it, like, cool, in a good way.
But in 2015, deep into the 21st century, I feel like we're still a minute away from having fighting in the streets over these issues. Like, doesn't it seem like these are the types of things that were settled decades ago?
It does. I mean, I'm terrified, like, that pretty soon we're just not even going to be able to exfoliate, because they're going to call those cells a baby. I don't know. But yeah, it does feel that deep into this, it's that. And I think part of that is that because it's such an emotional topic, people's religious views are really take precedent. I think really seriously what's happened is that the pro-choice movement and the people who are they kind of ceded the conversation to the extremists, so that they say the word baby a lot when we're not talking about a baby. You know, science says a lot of stuff, and so you can't buy into the framing that we've allowed them to have. So what we're trying to do at Lady Parts Justice is take that back and say, you want to know what? It's super unfair for you to say that women who are pro-choice are for killing babies. It's terrible that you would say that. It's not true. Mm-hmm. And so we're just trying to say, you know, we think everybody should have the freedom to make choices so they can be their best selves, or fail on their own petard, as it were.
Liz,
if you will.
Let me ask you this. I already am anticipating the angry emails and texts.
I'm sorry, you guys. You are going to get them, and your Twitter feed's going to be blown up with, why do you have a baby killer? I apologize.
But it's not just about this issue. I understand how divisive abortion is, but on any issue that involves – people are so partisan and so polarized now that I almost feel like nobody even wants to listen to anybody else talk. They just want to believe what they want to believe and shut out the rest of the world, and everybody almost, it seems like, feels that way. And it's to the point where you can't even have – a conversation with a friend about politics anymore. How did we get to that point, and how do we break that?
Well, I think that, you know, what's been interesting is I think that corporate America took over both parties, and then, like, so the Democrats are sort of like the corporate Republicans that we all used to be able to talk to and like and occasionally have sex with, you know, back in the day, and they were drummed out of their own party. And I think that religious conservatives took over the Republican Party, and so we stopped having conversations. I mean, when you look at someone like Orrin Hatch from Utah, very conservative guy, Lindsey Graham, super conservative guy. Lindsey Graham was primaried on the right by 5 people more conservative than him. Orrin Hatch, you know, primaried on the right. The Tea Party Revolution, you know, they came in and they say it's not about social issues. It's a lot of it, I think, is because we have a black president. And I think that we have not dealt with our racial issues in this country.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. I'm breaking some news here, people.
Yeah, shocking.
But I do think that it's really sad because the Republican friends I have that I talk to, they're like, I don't know what to do because I feel like my party was taken over by these people. And if you decide you're going to negotiate, then people don't vote for you. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like there is not one pro-choice Republican member of the United States Congress.
Do you see very many candidates that you like in either party anymore?
No.
I love
Bernie. I'm a Bernie person. Yeah. I'm just going to say I like Bernie.
And Bernie's been coming on strong.
I went to see him a couple
at the convention
center. It was pretty inspiring.
So many went to see him, and you didn't see it on the news at all.
No, it was really cool. Yeah. It was really cool. Yeah. I went with Sarah Silverman. She introduced him. It was really
excellent. He is outdrawing Hillary Clinton by a wide margin on the road, right?
Bernie Sanders
is.
And it's refreshing. You know, it's just really nice to have somebody with a consistent record. And whether you like Bernie Sanders or not, you know, it's kind of like this guy has never taken money from special interests. This guy's flying around on a, like, commercial jet and, like, doing, like, transferring in airports because he doesn't want to spend money. Yeah. You know, he has always been on the side of economic, you know, equality for people. And it's pretty cool to watch somebody who's authentic, even if you don't like them. Right. As opposed to Trump, who's just a clown. Like, he says, when people say, well, you know, he says what people are thinking. It's like, you know, when you're president, you don't get to go, you know, Putin's a loser. Like, that's not how life works. Like, this guy is not a – he's like, no. Like, it's fun, but then it's like, oh, my God, this is insane. Yeah. You're making period jokes and you're a grown man running for president. I can't.
We were just taught – this is the voice of Liz Winstead here on the Kevin DeBede Show, by the way, appearing an evening at the Largo at the Cornet this Monday night at 8:30. We'll talk about that in just a couple of minutes. We were just discussing this on the air the other day, Liz, and talking about how it's hard to believe that this is the same country that at one time in its history fielded – Alexander Hamilton and Benjamin Franklin and John Adams and George Washington and all the James Monroe and all those people at the same time, all those genius people who, by the way, were in their late 20s and early 30s and were running America. And you look at what we have available to choose from now, and it's hard to believe it's the same country.
Well, and think about, like, the ideas they were putting forth were super radical, right?
Insane.
And everyone's like, yeah, more radical ideas. Let's try it. Let's work.
Right.
Now we're begging people to believe science. And it's like, oh, my God, we have people who would rather say, well, that climate change is a hoax. It's like, yeah, but, you know, the guy who came back from the dead isn't. I mean, like, I don't mean to slam Christians, but it's like faith is called faith for a reason. It's because you put your faith in it. It can't be proven, but, like, through signs in life, and hopefully it leads you on a path to be a better person. But if you believe that there's a God and that God creates all things, God created science and doctors and medicine and things like that.
That's,
you know,
crazy
it
talk.
Is crazy talk. I know. I don't, you know. Again, more letters. Oh, my God, you're never having me on again. I already feel it.
That's why we wait about 10 years in between visits, Liz, is because we have all those letters to respond to.
I know.
All right. We live in a bizarre world, and that's why it must be so fun to be inside your brain. Like, every day when you open the paper, I imagine you have a mini aneurysm.
Well, you know, it's funny because I use my Twitter feed as it's the way that I write. And so I have a whole system on social media where I read a news story, I post it on Facebook, and then I see how people react to the news story, the parts of the story that they hit, and then I look at those, and then I write a setup for a joke, a punchline, or a tag, and then I post that on Twitter. And if I get 25 retweets in under a minute, then I favorite it and I put it in a file and then I develop it, right? So if you look at my Twitter feed, I look like a total narcissist in my favorites. It's like only me, favorite, me. And I've had, like, trolls call me out, like, wow, what about, and I was like, yeah, I use it for a writing tool. You can read the articles, dude. Like, calm down. So yeah, but if I did not have the outlet, this is what I don't understand. How folks who care about the news, like, if they can't get on stage or get on Twitter and, like, find humor and then spew it out.
Yeah.
Like, how do you guys get up every day, like, thinking that the world's falling apart when you hear these people say things that are so crazy?
So pent up and angry.
Yeah, you got to have an outlet. Yeah. Got to have an outlet.
Got to have an outlet.
All right, a quick break. More with our guest Liz Winstead when we return right after this on K-Rock. Comedian Liz Winstead in studio with us here on K-Rock. Bang the Dumb Slowly, an evening of political satire, happens this Monday night, August 17th at 8:30 at the Largo at the Cornet. Liz, what's that all about?
You know, it's basically blowing out our conversation to details. I do stand-up shows where I do about 75 minutes of – the biggest stories in the news and what's happening, and I just kind of go off, and it's sort of Lewis Black meets Liz Winstead meets What's on Your Mind, and it's really fun. It's really a fun catharsis for sure, because there's so much happening in the news right now that it's you just kind of can't get all to it, and so it's kind of nice to be like, come, we'll lap it all this together. We'll sift it out.
Yeah.
You're not nuts.
Do you find people that largely agree with you are the ones in the audience, or do people come to you to be combative towards you?
No, they don't come to be – I mean, if they come to be combative, they don't say anything, because it's just when you're amplified and you're a professional, it's like I can shut that down pretty quickly. Okay. Not to mention that these people are also cheap. They don't pay money to come and heckle you because they're cheap. They might stand outside. Sometimes I do get like anti-abortion protesters outside my shows, and I'm like, oh, whatever. Yeah, because we're having abortions in the comedy show. That's what's happening. You know, if I'm not funny, we got, you know, four free abortions. It's like, stupid. What are you doing here? So, but mostly it is, I think, people who generally agree with me. But there's also tension because I'm not a dyed-in-the-wool, like, Democrat. I think there's, like, I criticize President Obama. I criticize Hillary Clinton. I criticize a lot of, like, people who I feel like have had bad ideas on, like, on trade agreements, or, you know, like Hillary Clinton saying, well, I'm not sure how I feel about fracking. I'll let you know when I'm president. And right. It's like, honey,
yeah.
Say how you feel about fracking, because digging up the America's breadbasket should be something you have a decision about right now.
Should be.
I do think that most people who are running for office are trying to do it with giving as few opinions as possible on anything, because you don't want to potentially turn somebody off. I mean, that's just – it makes sense, but that's not how it used to be.
No, and I think that's the biggest problem, is that I think I really enjoy a time where you can look at somebody's issues and go, fail. No, I'm not for you. But at least I know that you have a plan that could actually be executed, but I'm just in disagreement of maybe who is the follow-up from the plan,
right,
or whatever. So that part is very – like Jesse Helms or these people from like the 90s who were like people who I never would agree with, at least you knew where they stood on every single issue. They had a plan. And now it just feels like ambiguous, weird. What do you think? That doesn't make sense. Like,
yeah, and that was even brought up during the GOP debate when Megyn Kelly asked Donald Trump, well, you were pro-choice. You were this. You were that. All things leaning towards a Democratic – kind of guy. When exactly did you become Republican?
Yeah. And then he's just like, I
invited Hillary Clinton to my wedding. She came.
Or no, I told Hillary Clinton to come to my wedding, I believe, is how that works. Mm-hmm. I've given money to all these guys. It's like, you can't buy the world and then fire countries.
Hopefully not.
Somebody needs to explain. Because I think, like, I don't even know that you have to take civics in public school anymore. And I think that's part of the problem. Because when they make these, like, loony promises, like, I'm just going to repeal Obamacare. It's like, A, no, you're not.
You
don't
can't.
Just get to do that.
Yeah.
And B, what a good plan to throw people out of the doctor. Wow. These bad ideas of people staying well.
There were a lot of people on the stage of the night who were talking about how all the executive orders that the president has implemented were going to be overturned. And they were just saying that they were all unconstitutional and illegal. And many of them were challenged and were found to be neither, right?
Yeah.
Right.
But
yeah.
You can just say whatever you want and no one ever fact checks you anymore.
No, clapping, actually.
No, and that's right. And when you look at people – and, you know, it's so interesting because when they – and they'll just say in campaign on stuff. I mean, there's this guy who won the – Senate race in Arkansas this year. This guy, Tom Cotton, who's the one who started that letter where he got all those 87 senators to sign the letter to Iran saying, hey, Iran, we're blah, blah, puffing our chest. Well, this guy won by making a campaign ad where he said that because of Obama's policies, the Mexican borders were so porous that ISIS was smuggling people with Ebola through Mexico into Arkansas. And you're like, okay, first of all, smuggling some. When you have Ebola, you're pooping out of your eyes.
You're not.
So no
it
one
in
is
bag?
Smuggling anyone yeah. with pooping out of their eyes. Like that person is not. Like you see a person pooping out of their eyes, you're like, yeah, maybe not. No, and the other person's wearing a giant blue hazmat suit. So I don't know what kind of smuggling is happening. But that guy won and like had people terrified. And that guy, you're like, oh, who's that guy? That guy graduated summa cum laude from Harvard. So you're like, what's wrong with Harvard? What's wrong with Arkansas? What's wrong with the world? Like, and it's just not only that they represent Arkansas, right? They get a vote on you and me
right.
on bigger junk. And right. so sometimes it's like easy to bury your head in the sand and go, oh, the South's a bunch of – and it's like, uh-uh. I hate to tell you, it's not just the South. It's like there's a lot of kook bags who are just running around having a say in your life.
I think a lot of us prefer to bury our heads in the sand. I think you're right about that. Hey, I want to ask you, Liz.
Sure.
I know you're a number of years removed from working The Daily Show, but you're the co-creator of The Daily Show. It's been in the news a lot lately.
Yeah.
How about Jon Stewart turning into an American national treasure? How about that?
How about that?
I mean, it was like the Pope died, the way people were crying last week.
Well, you know, it was so funny because when I watched the national mourning happen, to me it was like I love The Daily Show and I love Jon. Obviously, I'm very fortunate that I got to have a little part in it. But to watch how freaked out people were, to me, is more of an indictment of how horrible the media is than even how great Jon is. And Jon's great, but it's like, I'm terrified I'm not going to learn anything anymore. And it's like, I'm terrified that the person you're learning from is the comedian. Oh, my God, what are we talking about? And it even went when people were like, well, Jon Stewart's made a commitment now, and he's got to be responsible for this and the other thing. It's like, no, Jon committed to being funny and reporting the news and in a funny way.
Yeah.
You know, he's not doing investigative reporting. He's not uncovering stories. He's responding to the news that you and I all get. He doesn't have secret intel. And so it's like, please be mad at the media, not mad at Jon, because then maybe the media will wise up or not. Because it's clear that you watch cable, right? And when they see Jon's success, they don't go, oh, maybe we should actually fact check more or be more compelling or be more investigative. Mm-hmm. What they say is, oh, we should have funny chyrons.
Yeah, we should show a clip of that.
Let's show a clip of people making fun of us, because then people will like us. It's like, this is so self-hating. It's like self-flagellating every night on the news.
That's a great point. Will Trevor Noah take over and continue in the same vein as Jon Stewart did, or do you think it'll be a very different show?
I think it will be a very different show. He's a very different guy. He's younger. He's internationally. You know, he's from South Africa. Judging by just watching his stand-up, because he was a correspondent only on a few times, right?
Right, right.
So, you know, I think that he's maybe got a little bit more pop culture interest in him. So I'll be really curious to see how everything changes. They're donating the set to the museum in Washington, D.C.
That's right.
So we'll see if it's going to even feel the same way. Who knows if there's even going to be a desk? Who knows what it means to have a new kind of show on every day? And I think after 16 years, why not revamp it a little bit? You know, information changes. The way you deliver information changes. Like, why not have a little fun with it?
I know there are a few other people on the air who do something similar to what Jon did.
Yeah.
Bill Maher obviously comes to mind. Amy Schumer is doing some very sharp political comedy right now. And there are a few others.
John Oliver.
The best. Great. But is the reason there isn't more of that is just because it's hard to do? Is it hard to do what they do?
You know, I think it's twofold. I think it is really hard to do what they do, and so I think you have to have a burning passion for information and news. You have to then always be forming an opinion about it based on taking in a lot of information. Then you have to be super funny about it. But I think the biggest thing, then you have all of that, and there's plenty of people that can do that. Not plenty, but there's a lot of good people out there. I think the bottom line is it's not syndicatable. Because it has a shelf life. So I think more than anything else, and I know I've been told because I've tried to pitch shows sort of like that around, it's like, oh, you want to know what? You know, how do we make money off of that on the back end?
So basically, because it's so topical, it could only air this week or next. So after that, there's no use for it. Why spend the money on something you can run once?
That's exactly right.
Interesting. Yeah. So it comes down to economics.
I think so. More than ideology, for sure.
Yeah.
Liz Winstead is our guest, co-creator of The Daily Show and Air America, and obviously a very talented writer, activist, comedian. Bang the Dumb Slowly, an evening of political satire, is going to be at the Largo at the Cornet next Monday night. Tickets available through largo-la.com. Available now, just $30. Sounds like a great night. Liz, if you have time, we'd love you to stick around for one more, because you made a reference earlier to racism. Hey,
she's getting a call.
It's
They're telling her she can't.
Is that your phone, Liz?
No, it's done. It's done. Not my phone.
You mentioned the race issues we have, and there was a story that came out yesterday that we didn't get a chance to talk about yesterday about the Lowe's driver in Virginia. Do you know this story?
I don't.
Oh, we're going to talk to you about that, and we're going to help you. You're going to solve racism in America when we return, Liz.
Oh, always white ladies doing that.
Yeah.
How's that for a tease? Coming up next on K-Rock. Hey, party people, you're listening to K-Rock 106.7 KROQ here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Our guest is Liz Winstead for one more show. Again, see her at the Largo this Monday night. Tickets on sale right now at largo-la.com. So you were saying earlier, you mentioned we live in a super racist country, even now in 2015, right, Liz?
Yeah.
And what are you basing that on?
Racism.
Okay, yeah. All right.
I'm basing it on what I observe with the racism.
Are we making any progress at all?
I mean, I hope so. I think that the fact that, I mean, we live in isolated pockets still. You know, I don't think we're, you look around a room and a lot of times it's like a lot of white people and maybe one or two people of color. Mm-hmm. I think that the more we look at diversity in our workplace, in our, whether that's a writing room at a comedy show, whether that's a CEO of a thing, you know, other perspectives I think aren't taken into account and therefore I think they're not valued. And I think it's really important to always have somebody jarring you out of the way you think things should go because your life has dictated that down mm-hmm. a path to make sure other people can say, you know what, actually that isn't the life trajectory that a lot of other people have experienced, and I think we need to hold that into account.
And it always makes me wonder when people say, and they legitimately think this, well, we've got a black president.
Yeah.
We can't be. It has brought it to the forefront to me.
That's right.
More so than ever, because people that don't agree with Obama can go so overboard. And well, if I say anything bad, then I'm racist. No.
Well, it was
you're allowed to separate those two.
Well, I remember as a comic, when Obama got elected, one of the questions I got from almost every interviewer was, oh, how are you going to make fun of him? As though the only way to make fun of him would have been to make racial jokes about him, when that is not. I was like, well, because he came up from a system of a Democratic Party that has been sellouts for years. So there's going to be plenty of reasons for me to make fun of Obama. Have you looked at Obama? He's a centrist who's going to make decisions that I'm going to be bummed out about on like a lot of stuff. So that's how. But like, it's kind of amazing how people say that stuff, and you know. It's time that we realize it's very important to see that it's different for people of color how they go through their day.
Well, let me tell you about a young African-American man who had a wake-up call in America in 2015 this week. His name is Marcus Bradley. He is a delivery driver and has been for 11 years in Danville, Virginia, working for the Lowe's Home Improvement Store. He was making a delivery of some merchandise to a customer who waved him off because she did not want a black person delivering to her home. So she called Lowe's and said, I need you to send me another driver because I don't want to let this black guy in my house. She's an elderly white woman. I saw her on the news last night, by the way, and I hate to bum people out, but she's wearing an Anaheim Angels baseball cap, even though she's living in Virginia.
How dare you?
Lowe's, what do you think their response was? Their response was to say, okay, ma'am, we'll send you out another driver and deliver your merchandise, which is what they did. And now those managers have been fired. In 2015, though, this woman doesn't.
How Lowe's can you go?
How Lowe's can you go? Well, boom! Done. That's why she's a professional, ladies and gentlemen, right there.
Thank you, everybody.
What's going on in this lady's mind where she doesn't want an African-American to deliver her furniture to the point where she would refuse it and call the store and ask them to send out a white driver?
And I would even back up further and say, what kind of life has this woman lived up to this point that she feels 100% comfortable calling up and saying, I don't want a black driver in my house. Send me a different person. Mm-hmm. That means her whole surroundings have been other people who agree with that, think that, say that. She built her life around not being around black people. Then she gets to make up all this creepy, stereotypical junk about black people. She gets to perpetuate that based on her circle of friends, and the cycle continues. And that's why it goes back to what I said, which is we really need to make sure that the points of view of all people are factored and highlighted, which is why, for example, you know, it was during, I can't remember, I hate to, this is like a horrible, I can't remember which shooting it was of a human being. And John Stewart came forward and gave a really eloquent talk about, you know, what's happening in America.
Oh, and he said no jokes tonight.
No jokes tonight, right?
Right.
But the bottom line is there have been really incredible black writers, black scholars, black intellectuals, black public thinkers who have been saying the same thing that John has said forever, mm-hmm. but nobody amplifies their voices, right? So mm-hmm. I always say to people, you know, follow, really kind of do some research, find some really great folks on Twitter that you can retweet what they're saying, amplify their voices so they can be a bigger part of the conversation so that we're hearing experiential things from people of color. I think it's just vital.
I think you're right about that. And by the way, it won't surprise you that the comments under this story on the ABC News site that I have open in front of me have things like Tommy Campbell, who writes in, "I think the old lady was afraid and I don't blame her. Shame on you, Lowe's," for instance. Kathy Payne Smith, who's a white lady, says, "The customer has a right to voice her opinion. Lowe's should have complied. The delivery person shouldn't have objected. He should have complied. That was his boss. No one should be offended. It's business and not personal. Get over it."
So oh, there are a lot of people. It's not only personal. Yes. It's all personal.
It's business. It's not racist. You know, she wants it. She wants a white person to bring her lumber.
Right. Exactly.
Or her toilet or her whatever, her commode. Yeah. I don't know what the hell she got.
And like you said, these people live in the same echo chamber that that customer lives in. Right. And that's how they live their whole lives. Probably.
And also, these are the people who vote in those midterm elections. And when you go, how did we get all these racist nutbags elected? It's because these people turn out no matter what. And sadly, people a lot of times who are like comfortable and kind of don't see these people in their daily lives are like, oh, there was an election. Oh, whatever. And it's like, yeah. And when these tiny, tiny margins of people turn out to vote, they're the ones that change things.
That's why it's all going to be different under President Trump.
Oh, my God. Why? Why? Why do you hate?
and I leave you with that good news, with that note for you to think about as you walk out, Liz Winstead. President Trump is going to save us all, man. It's going to be fine.
You're a loser in Seattle. You're a loser.
Liz, love you, man. Thanks for coming in.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Doto is supposed to be here tomorrow, Ralph.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're not as excited as we are?
I'll believe it when I see it.
Oh, that's what it is. Okay. You just want to get your hopes up.
No, because he might be parachuting over some embassy in Guam or something by tomorrow. You don't know. If when he gets the call, when the activator goes up on his watch, he's got to jump into action because he is the international man of mystery.
That's true. I forgot about that. Well, if all goes well, we do expect Doto tomorrow, so we're very excited about that. Ralph is here now, time for the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday morning. Then Adam Carolla joins us just after 9. What's going on?
Speaking of joining, join me and Kevin Smith this Friday night at 10 p.m. at the Improv on Melrose.
No.
We are bringing Hollywood Babble on back.
No.
To Hollywood.
No!
Taking the stage Friday night at 10 p.m. Love to have you come join me and Kevin Smith. You can see us, go to improv.com and click on the Hollywood Club to get all your info and to get your tickets.
No, I'd be against that.
Kevin was on Hollywood Game Night last night, just crushing it, just kicking ass.
No!
Yeah, he did. It was awesome.
Okay.
Speaking of TV, I want to give a shout out to Mr. Robinson, which returns tonight on NBC at 9 p.m. If you want to check that out, if you haven't seen it yet, Craig Robinson's new show. Very, very funny. I'm in love with that show, so tune in. Speaking of television, Britney Spears has just signed on to be a guest star in an upcoming episode of Jane the Virgin. Just when I thought I couldn't watch Jane the Virgin any less, now they have added Britney Spears to it, so I'll actually have to make...
Get further away from the TV?
My eyes will have to regress into my head somehow in order to get less.
Are you forgetting what a phenomenal actress Britney Spears is?
That's true. I did forget about that because it was, Splinter? What was her movie?
Crossroads.
Crossroads. That's right. Yeah. I was thinking Sparkle, I guess. That was the Mariah Carey movie, right?
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
Crossroads. That's right. I forgot. You and Dave went to see Crossroads, if I'm not mistaken, opening day at a matinee.
We certainly did. Yes.
No.
Yeah. Bean. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, Allie. Dave and Ben. Like little 12-year-old girls, they made their little plans to go to opening day of Crossroads, the Britney Spears movie, and see a matinee of it. Unironically, by the way, in a very non-ironic fashion. They're both very excited to go see the Britney Spears movie. Which, much like now, is like Bean's
Taylor Swift
thing.
Yeah.
It's like anything a 13-year-old girl would like to do, that's what Bean likes to do.
David, I went to the Bieber movie, too, remember?
Oh, who could forget?
Bean.
By the way, it was roundly mocked, and Crossroads was not a successful film, and it has not looked upon fondly. But do you know who wrote that movie?
I think it was Johnny Asshole.
It was Shonda Rhimes.
Was it really?
Yes. Shonda Rhimes.
Well, she's been repenting ever since, and God bless her.
Creator of Grey's Anatomy and Scandal and How to Get Away with Murder.
How to Get Away with Murder.
Yep, so for what it's worth.
It's not worth much.
Not worth much, huh. Okay.
Not much at all. X-Files. The six-episode X-Files series event still in production. We've got news this week that Annabeth Gish will also be returning.
Oh, we
cast.
Love her.
Love her.
She was great. Remember, she sort of came on the tail end of the series. She came on with Robert Patrick as a new FBI agent. She will be returning to the cast, and she will once again reprise her role as Agent Monica Reyes, who will be helping out her former colleagues, Fox Mulder and Dana Scully, as they look for the truth. I cannot wait for this series, by the way.
I'm excited, too. I love Annabeth, too. She was great on The Bridge. I don't know if you watched The Bridge.
I did not see that. She was terrific on that. But I heard she was great.
Wonderful in Mystic Pizza.
It's a long reach
back. That's a good current reference.
Thank
you, Allie.
Long reach back.
You should rent it. It's a real good movie.
Why don't you rent it?
Why don't you?
You do it.
Sure, face.
Are you a fan of Lisa Kudrow's Web Therapy?
Yes.
Oh, it was canceled.
Okay.
Showtime pulled the plug. Oh. After four seasons. That show's on the air for four seasons?
She's amazing. First of all, The Comeback is one of the greatest shows ever.
I'm talking about Web Therapy.
I know, but I watched that as well. But now I'm sad that there's no Lisa Kudrow on my
But Web
Netflix.
Therapy was on Showtime for four seasons?
I didn't know that.
Wow. I didn't even realize how aggressively I was avoiding that show, but apparently I really had to go out of my way to not see it.
It's almost like Britney Spears was on it as much as you didn't watch it.
That's right. Today's celebrity birthday. Speaking of fun, really quickly, and things on the that were born on the internet and stuff. The IFC.com. Mm-hmm. They've got a show with Vanessa Bayer over there. It's a little, it's 5-minute webisodes of a show called Sound Advice. Mm-hmm. Very, very funny.
She's amazingly
talented.
She is
amazingly talented, and she plays a like a media analyst who helps you with your media image and stuff, and she has celebrity guests and she has sit-down interviews. It's much like Between Two Ferns with Zach Galifianakis. But if you get a chance, go over to the IFC.com website and click on Sound Advice. I think you'll get a kick out of it.
It's www.facebook.com slash R and then all one word, ROTRKROQ. That's www.facebook.com/ROTRKROQ.
Okay, I think we got it now.
It's like he is chiseling into stone when he talks. It's like Fred Flintstone is giving you a web address.
Yeah, every sentence is definitely an uphill push for him.
Today's celebrity birthday is Peter Krause, 50 years old today.
He's so talented.
Very talented guy and always in really good projects, too. You rarely see him in something you don't want to watch. Yvette Nicole Brown is 44 years
old. She's
on
the Odd Couple now.
That's right. Casey Affleck is 40. Maggie Lawson from Psych and from Love of the Game, 35 years old today. And Cara Delevingne. She turns 23 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Listening to the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ, and we appreciate you very much tuning into the Kevin and Bean Show. Our friend Adam Carolla is on the line. You can see him live on stage at the Borderline Bar and Grill in Thousand Oaks coming up on Friday, August 28th at 7. He's got special guest Howie Mandel that night. That's going to be a lot of fun. Tickets available through adamcarolla.com. And don't forget, you can also see his latest movie, the documentary about the racing life of Paul Newman. It is called Winning. That is available on iTunes right now for a limited time, just $9.99. And I have seen it, and I endorse it, and it is great. And you should watch it. Adam Carolla's here. It's time for What's Your Take?
Adam Carolla, I want your take. I want it right now. Adam Carolla, use your wits and your know-how. Adam Carolla, what's your take on what is going on? Adam Carolla, what's your take? Let's get it on.
Hey, Ace Man, how you doing, buddy?
Doing good. Bean, how are the wife and pigs?
Wife and pigs are fine. I keep telling Adam the pigs died a long time ago, but he won't let them go. Adam, have you had Joel Edgerton on your little podcast yet?
Yes.
Isn't he great?
I love that guy.
I do too. He wrote and directed this new film that had a big box office weekend called The Gift over the weekend. And it's not like there aren't some original movies being made. Diablo Cody wrote that Ricky and the Flash. That's out. A couple others that are out there. But for the most part, we are living in a world where it is all reboots and remakes all the time. It's Fantastic Four and it's Vacation and it's Mission Impossible. And it just goes on and on and on. And I wanted to ask you about that, Adam, because you're not only very pop culture savvy, but you're a guy who has written and directed and produce your own movies of original stories. It seems like that's a dying art. Like, it doesn't exist in Hollywood anymore. What's up?
Well, first off, to all the people out there who are like, oh, I want my children to enjoy Ghostbusters, or I want, you know, I have 9-year-old twins. I want them to enjoy Vacation. Here's what you do. You get a DVD that says Vacation on it, circa 1989, and you pop it in the DVD player, and you get them to enjoy a good version of the movie as it was originally intended to be viewed. So there's this thing of like, well, how are my kids going to see this? Super easy, the same way I watched On the Waterfront. I didn't have a On the Waterfront from the mid-80s that starred Patrick Swayze. I just had the Marlon Brando one, and I enjoyed that, or the Maltese Falcon, or whatever other old movie. Number one. Number two, I just got to say to all of Hollywood, just because there's name recognition, because this is how Hollywood runs. It's just brands and name recognition. May I please just bring up my People versus Land of the Lost argument, which is this. If you're listening, Hollywood, understand the world, and I'm using no hyperbole here, Bean, the entire world can be divided into two groups, and two groups only. Half who've never heard of Land of the Lost, right. So you get no traction.
Okay.
And then there's another half who's heard of Land of the Lost, and thinks it stinks about as much as a cat that's been fed exclusively blue cheese taking a crap on a white-hot hibachi.
Oh,
that is it.
Gosh.
Hollywood, two segments. One that's never heard of it, one that wishes they could drive a railroad spike into their ear until it pops out the other side so we could rid our memory of it. So what is name recognition really doing for you? If those are the only two segments of society.
Okay, then explain to me how the decision was made to put the money up to make and release a Land of the Lost movie a few years ago.
Because it's stupid people going, oh yeah, I remember that one. But listen, we do the same thing in radio. I mean, it's the same music. You guys play Dead Man's Party by Oingo Boingo 15 times a week. Nobody likes that piece of crap.
Well, that's we haven't played that one in a while, but I do take your point.
Oh, it's flashback weekends. I don't know. Abracadabra by Steve Miller. I mean, does anyone like that song? That's the worst song ever made. You turn on the radio. I guarantee it is playing in 5,000 cars around the radio and around the country on someone's radio right now. So we always do repetitive crap. It's our way.
So
it's
in Hollywood in particular, though.
Being stupid, Bean. What do your 22 dogs eat for breakfast every morning? The exact same thing they eat for lunch and dinner.
Well, okay, all right.
Repetition.
Uh-huh.
Stupid.
So what you're saying, Adam, is there's a Hollywood meeting going on, and somebody says, hey, I've got this script by this new writer, this new sci-fi movie that could be good, or we could try to reboot the Terminator franchise again. Which one do you think is going to get the votes?
Oh, listen, Family Affair or Doogie Howser, the movie, or Lost in Space. They did Lost in Space.
Yeah, that's true. They did.
Another horrible TV show. They do nothing but horrible TV shows. Look, Sid and Marty Krofft must be put down. They must be put out of their misery. They're the ones who created all this crap in the 70s, and they're the ones that are rebooting it so they can poison the minds of a new generation.
Come on, so, Dr. Shrinker.
No, they're all horrible.
So,
all
Adam, tell me about you personally, though, because you had...
Oh, wait a minute. I want to take one step further.
Yes.
If you are going to recreate it, I'm sorry. I'm set my ways. I need myself a white Karate Kid, and I need an all-male cast when it comes to busting the ghost. I don't like the... You're messing with history. Or for each one you guys get, we get one. Like Jim Gaffigan is Cleopatra Jones.
that I might pay to see.
Works for me.
Google both those and do an image thing. You can get back to me later with your laugh.
I think evolving in movies is an okay thing. If we want to have a Black Karate Kid, if we want to have an all-females Ghostbusters, I think that serves a purpose.
I'm fine, but why don't you just call it something else? Let's make a new movie where a black dude knows karate. Like, why do we have to do... Like, here's what I tell everybody. Create and then walk through your own museum. Don't sit around and watch what everyone else is doing and just repeat it. It just seems like a mistake. But Bean, you had a question. So.
Yeah, and it was just about you, only because you have wrote and starred in two independent original films. Was it like pushing the biggest ball in the world uphill to try to get those things made, Adam?
The first one, I felt like a dung beetle in the middle of the Nevada desert, just pushing a ball of hippo flop for years until we could finally get it made. The second one, I crowdfunded it, and we made it in, you know, a year. So,
and it was profitable.
It was much easier. Well, I wish it made 100th as much as the bomb Land of the Lost with Will Ferrell did, but sadly. But I have my own movie, or it is its own movie, or there's never been another like it.
Gotcha. Yeah, there's something to be said for that. It is crazy, though, when you – I mean, every once in a while, like a train wreck will come along with Amy Schumer, and you go, thank God, here's a new person with a new voice. I mean, at least there are cracks every once in a while where you feel encouraged.
I don't think everyone's intentions should be like Judd Apatow. Let's find the next talent. Let's build a vehicle for this talent, and let's expose people to this new voice and this new talent. That should be every creative person's at least goal or sincere wish. And
boom.
But it's just corporate Hollywood. So, but then here's the problem. Once in a while, the stupid movie, you know, the Mission Impossible, I mean, it's not a reboot, but, it, you know, it's at 95% on Rotten Tomatoes. It's been the number one film in the box office for a month. Who's going to not make the next one?
Right.
Exactly. Jurassic World.
Jurassic World, right.
Yeah, every once in a while it works. All right, when Adam Carolla's running Hollywood, kids, things are going to be different, and you can ask him about it when you see him in Thousand Oaks at the Borderline Bar and Grill coming up on Friday night, August 28th. It's going to be a fun show. Special guest Howie Mandel. Tickets available through AdamCarolla.com, and don't forget, pick up The Racing Life of Paul Newman, the documentary called Winning on iTunes right now. Limited time, just $9.99. Ace Man, have a great week. We'll talk to you soon, sir.
Thank you. Adam Carolla,
what's your take? So let me tell you about that Red Bull Sound Space down the hall here at K-Rock. It's a pretty darn good place to see a show. We just had Fall Out Boy in yesterday. And tomorrow, George Ezra is coming on by. If you want to see the Budapest singer performing live just a few feet in front of you, you can call us right now, 1-800-520-1067. Callers 20 and 21. You will be there in person to see George Ezra. And for the rest of us, we can watch it live online for free at krock.com starting at 1 o'clock. Ralph is here. Time for a final look at the showbiz beat here on a Wednesday. What's going on?
Oh, pixels.
You know, George Ezra is not the same person as Adam Sandler, right?
Prove it.
Well, I can't.
See tomorrow.
Actually.
Let's do a little DNA test tomorrow and see what happens.
That's a good point.
Just when I thought we were making some headway, just when I thought maybe as a culture we were starting to come around, maybe there was hope. Maybe there was a light at the end of this dark, dark tunnel. With Perez Hilton spearheading a no Kardashians for a week boycott for next week. Across the board, asking everyone in the media to participate, which I think is a great idea and a good start.
And you have already signed up. You made the pledge, no Kardashian stories next week.
Mention them next week, Monday through Friday, no mention of the Kardashians here on the Kevin and Bean Show or on Hollywood Babylon, my podcast with Kevin Smith. Just when I thought maybe we were getting someplace, NBC announces that they have hired a new host for the 2016 Rio Olympic Games late night coverage. Ryan Seacrest will be the host of their Olympic coverage. Late night atmosphere will be electric, said the producer of the NBC Olympics. And we're thrilled to have Ryan Seacrest in the middle of all of it, capturing Rio's unique flavor, talking to Olympic athletes, and telling the stories of the day.
First of all, he is a former athlete himself. He won all those gold medals in the last Olympics, if you recall correctly. So he's got a pedigree as an athlete.
He's never been in the Olympics.
Second of all, he's an outstanding interviewer.
He's really not.
Oh, so that's not it either?
Maybe he's going to just go knocking on the doors of Olympic athletes, handing out gold medals to them.
Olympic knock live, Rio.
Why would you hire this guy? Listen, I get it. At one point in America's history, at the peak of American Idol, maybe you want some of that reflected glory on your own program, whatever that may be, and so you bring him in, as inappropriate a choice as he may be, just for sheer business sense.
Because he's hosting the most popular show on TV right then, right?
But that does not apply any longer.
Did he sign some sort of contract with NBC falling under their umbrella and now they need to plug him in to workplaces? That's the only thing I can think
of. But they don't have
to
put him anywhere.
They don't.
Well, he is. I think Ali's onto something because he is part of the
Today Show, right?
Today Show.
Which is and fine. That show
everybody on the Today Show goes to the Olympics. When NBC has the Olympics, they all broadcast from there.
That's the law? Is that the Supreme Court passed that?
That's how they've done it. I'm sure Carson will be there. I'm sure they'll all be there.
But why would you have Ryan Seacrest solo hosting a big chunk of your Olympic coverage?
Maybe Costas has the pink eye again?
See, you're being funny, but I'm serious. What the hell's going on?
I can't. I mean, he's a competent broadcaster.
But think, does NBC have no one else on their staff? So that's a slot that's being ill-used.
Right.
Because you could develop a really good broadcaster with that opportunity.
No, I agree.
Someone who knows, I don't know, sports.
Right. Josh Elliott is great.
Or broadcasting, or Josh Elliott. Or Farrah Abraham. You know, someone with some talent.
She's just doing porn right now.
I'm confused.
Okay.
Uggy the dog is dead. We've lost another...
Oh, come on.
Lost another great Hollywood actor.
How are you going to come at us like that with that kind of news as we're trying to say goodbye?
Uggy the dog, who of course was in the 2011 Oscar-winning film The Artist, has died. He was 13 years old. The beloved Jack Russell Terrier was put to sleep on Friday, August the 7th, after battling a prostate tumor. Good on the owner, by the way, for letting Uggy take the big nap versus surgeries and chemo and radiation. The thing some people can keep him alive is just horrible.
Yeah.
So Uggy's gone. His trainer, Sarah Clifford, had the following quote, and I'm not making this up. I will forever hold him dearly in my heart and never forget his infinite love for chicken and hot dogs. Yes, that's right, America. Uggy was one of those rare dogs that enjoyed chicken and hot dogs.
Now that's a dog.
As opposed to those... Some dogs just hate chicken and won't take a piece of hot dog out of your hand.
My dog loves kale.
But sure, most do. But Uggy, he was unique. He liked himself some chicken and hot dogs.
By the way, that
cheese also was a big favorite with Uggy and Uggy alone.
That quote you read, that tribute, that obituary, is going to be the exact same thing they say about Beer Mug when he's gone.
Are there any dogs up in this house?
What God's saying right now to Uggy at the pearly gates.
And it's snowing like dogs.
Is it snowing like dogs?
You know that old expression.
Sure, it's snowing like dogs.
It's snowing like dogs.
Dogs like chicken and hot dogs. How about some happy news now that we've had to deal with the tragedy that is Uggy? Netflix has announced a new Christopher Guest movie.
Yay!
Full-length feature film will be airing exclusively on Netflix in 2016. It is called Mascots. Christopher Guest will be directing the film, which is, let me read you the description. Welcome to all the drama, intrigue, and occasional excitement of the 8th World Mascot Association Championships, where a group of unusual men and women with big heads and furry suits compete to win the prestigious Gold Fluffy Award and be crowned best mascot in the world.
Frickin' awesome.
Frickin' so awesome in. Indeed. I couldn't be more excited. Are you contemplating getting a divorce?
Sometimes.
No, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to our audience. Sure, that may work for you, but what's in it for the rest of us? Why not? If you're going to get divorced, why not do it so we all can enjoy it? There's a new TV show called Stay or Go, Married Couples in Crisis.
No.
That is looking to cast couples on the verge of a divorce. If you're on the verge of a divorce, don't you wish you could look into the future and see whether divorce is really the right thing for you and your spouse? Well, do it on television. StayOrGoCasting.com is looking for on the verge of divorced couples to come on the TV show Stay or Go and expose your life for all of us to enjoy.
Get a divorce, not a gun.
There you go.
This is end times, you guys.
Stay or Go.
I just got a text from my wife. She asked you to repeat that website
address, if you will. StayOrGoCasting.com, and that's okay. Where you can apply if you're a couple on the edge of divorce. If you're a couple on the edge of divorce and you're looking for what reality show to be on, just feel free to kill yourselves. That's yeah. Fine. Yeah, just cut out the middleman. We don't need to see you on television so much.
Hey, any details about how it is decided whether you're going to get a divorce or not? I mean, do strangers vote on whether you should stay together?
I hope it is. They just put out your torch.
A series of challenges if you're
voted off Married Island.
Right.
This is a chance to experience how divorce impacts family, friends, and loved ones in the community. It will help you truly understand what is at stake financially, emotionally, and practically.
Oh, no! This is a colossal disaster!
We are looking for married couples who have come to a crucial point at which a decision must be made. That one will have far-reaching consequences. This is an opportunity for couples in crisis to figure out whether divorce is the right path for them or if their partnership is worth saving. Also, you can win fabulous prizes.
Of course.
Can you imagine they, like, cut to the kids making an emotional plea? Like, yeah. Please don't.
This
please,
is going to ruin
Mommy.
Our lives. I don't know, Brenda. What do you think? Tick-tock. Tick, tock, and I say we go with divorce.
And then they have to. Then they have to both do the American Ninja Warriors course to see who gets the furthest.
I
and
just
get points
Ryan
that way.
Chris host. That's all I do too. That's all I ask for. Knock, knock, divorce live. You are divorced.
What network is going to have?
It
that
does
show?
Not say what.
Oh,
network
I can't
is,
wait.
But I just wanted to give out the casting call because they're looking for. Couples, as you can imagine, who are willing to do this. So,
put a little fun in the most painful experience
that's
of your
life.
That's
what I'm saying.
I love it.
Uggie's the lucky one.
Because he missed it?
That's right. Today's celebrity birthdays. Peter Krause is 50 years old today. Actress Yvette Nicole Brown turns 44. Casey Affleck is 40 years old today. Actress Maggie Lawson of Psych. And for the love of the game, 35 years old today. And Cara Delevingne celebrates her 23rd birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Hey, quick reminder before we get out of here that our little friend Chip is going to be standing on a stool or something so that people can see her at the Hot Topic location in Orange today. Where is that, Chip? Where are you going to be at 1 o'clock?
I'm going to be at the outlets at Orange, or formerly known as the Block.
Okay. All right. You're going to have lots of K-Rock shows to give away, including tickets to Foo Fighters, Social D, Mumford & Sons, Rise Against, lots of K-Rock prizes. That's from 1 till 3 today at the Hot Topic location in Orange. And, of course, we got the big 2015 K-Rock Summer Sticker in effect at all Southern California Hot Topic locations right now.
To win the prize, you have to find Chip. She's going to be in the pocket of one of the pairs of pants at Hot Topic, and you just have to find her, and you can get some tickets.
Go to K-Rock.com to find out details on how you can win a 2015 Dodge Challenger, a trip to see Muse in Mexico, a Hot Topic gift card worth $500 and so much more. Now, tomorrow on the show, I think it's going to be a good one because the International Man of Mystery, Doto, is supposed to be joining us bright and early tomorrow.
Mm.
I hope so. Hope it happens.
Why not? Venus America.
Why not indeed, right? We're also, Jim Rome is still on vacation. We're going to talk sports with our friend Dan O'Toole from Fox Sports Live. Allie, what's the update? I know you've been breathlessly following the court proceedings this morning with your boyfriend Tom Brady. How's it looking?
I think the NFL was hoping to get that one judge that was super, like, lenient. They got someone that might screw the NFL.
Oh, really?
Things are looking good, Tom
Brady. Is Brady
going to
walk?
Supporters?
Your free Brady hat's going to work after all?
I think it might.
Is it Judge Belichick? Any chance? Distant cousin?
Also, the very funny writer and actor Nat Faxon from the Married TV show is going to be joining us tomorrow. We've got Doto on the program tomorrow as well. And we're not allowed to say who or whom. I never know which is the correct one. But there is another major K-Rock band that is playing a show at a tiny venue. I can say no more, but first thing tomorrow morning, we'll unveil that information for you and start giving away tickets to it. It's all tomorrow right here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.